Gavin McInnes is back with his all-new online network, freespeech.tv. Gavin McInnes, Joe Biggs, Milo Yiannopoulos, and Soph, all at freespeech.tv.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, on this Friday edition, October 25th, 2019, I'm here to tell you some heads are going to roll politically, economically, and criminally. The only question is, whose heads are going to roll? We've had close to a century of a rotting political system parlaying American power into a global corporate system. Well, my friends, that is coming to an end right now. There's more than just change in the wind. There's change in the gut, in the spirit, in the soul, in the blood of humanity, not just America. But America is the most powerful nation in the world, and so the forces of good and evil are contending for the future destiny of humanity within the borders of the United States. And that's why this broadcast is so important. That's why you're so important. Well, last night, it was 10 a.m. straight up, and my children had gone to bed, at least the three that live with me. My son's already 17 and moved out. And my phone went bzzz. And I usually ignore it by then, but I said, I need to check that. And it was Mike Adams. And he said, they just dropped the hammer. Just as Mike gave me a call 2 weeks ago, and he said, by two Fridays from now, the word is from his Pentagon sources, and he's got good ones, that they'll announce the criminal probe that's already been well underway for a year by Attorney General Barr, and that expect hell to break loose within the next 7 days. And just like clockwork, before two Fridays passed, they released that information at about 9:55 Central, 10:55 Eastern last night. So that is a big, big deal, obviously, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to be going over all of that here today. And the planets kind of align. We're going to have an individual who's at the center of it all, who hasn't spoken for a while, has been heard from here on the broadcast. And that's coming up in T-minus 57 minutes from now. And we'll announce who that guest is when they join us. You see, if you control America, you can control the world. That's the big secret. And of course, if you're informed, it's not a secret at all. But to the ignorant, quite a bit is secret. A cult just simply means hidden. And we fight occult left-hand path powers who wish to keep humanity in the dark. I wish to bring humanity into the light, the true light of God, not the false light of Lucifer, their God. And so this is going to be a very important transmission today, because there's not just those two big planets aligning. There's a bunch of other big developments coming together today, this weekend, and through next week. Because Trump has made the decision not to back down. He's made the decision to try to break through their blockade. Truly an Andrew Jackson type move. And if he can do it, he'll be up there with Andrew Jackson and George Washington. Hell, he already is. But a lot of people are scared. And I can tell you the threats are flowing like water. Very, very serious threats that the globalists have made do on their previous threats. And so everybody is deciding which side they're on. I decided a long time ago, and I feel really good about it. Because now we've reached the point of actual war and battle, and there's almost a silence in the din and the clash and the collision, isn't there? There's a peace now. as we finally enter the crucible, as we enter the slow motion of war. Stay with us. Gentlemen, it is October 25th, 2019 on this live Friday edition. I am your host, Alex Jones. We are seeing incredible history that's already been unfolding, really just explode right now in all of its vivid colors. If you're a TV viewer, you can see this. If you're a radio listener, you go to newswars.com. There's the live headline feed of the show today. With the live feed, Hammerfall. Justice Department announces criminal investigation of deep state coup attempt against President Trump. Watch live. The planets are aligning. Expect explosive developments in the next 7 days. Plus, special surprise guest joins yours truly coming up in the second hour. An individual truly at the center of it all. If you back up at the point we're in, everything InfoWars has laboriously documented is now public. And as I've said 1,000 times, I'll say it for the 1,000th and first time. It's not because I had a Palantir or a crystal ball. It's because the establishment has one set of reports and statements where they communicate with each other very arrogantly, and then another set for the general public where they completely lie to you. And I go back to this. Remember Gruber, 5-6 years ago, he said, I helped write Obamacare to triple prices and rip people off. And he was there on C-SPAN talking to a bunch of other professors. And they were rubbing their hands together and just in glee. Why would you go on C-SPAN and say, I'm a criminal that rips people off and lies to them and ha, 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 we rip off all ladies. We're going to bankrupt the healthcare system and take it over and have three companies run it. Ezekiel Emanuel bragged about that on Fox. Because they think you're so stupid, they want to piss in your face. You know, they have sayings like, he pissed in my face. Because in the old days, people would actually do that to humiliate someone. They would piss in your face. And you go, why would somebody want to piss in somebody's face? Because that's what these criminals do. That's what criminology is like. A normal person doesn't want to rub something in on somebody. You don't want to go after somebody for no reason. And even if you have to crush somebody, you still have empathy and don't enjoy it. I mean, maybe during the exertion of your physically, say, strangling somebody's head off their shoulders, you have a little enjoyment, but you feel guilty for it later. You know what I mean? So here we are, ladies and gentlemen, in this moment where there is a battle by all these different factions over control of the United States. And almost everybody's hedging their bets out there. And no one's sure who's really going to come out on top. But they do know this. If you support President Trump, you get threatened. You get audited. You get harassed. You get spied on. You get killed. And then Trump, he just sits up there and promotes Americana and the belief in the country. But because he's not a dictator and isn't really in control, he can't even protect his own people. And that's the paradox. We have to understand Trump can't even protect himself until he goes on the offense and decides to cry havoc, to quote William Shakespeare, and let loose the dogs of war. And Trump has made the decision, and he's got a coterie of people around him, led by Mr. Barr, who are deep establishment, but representing more of the type of establishment that's cold-blooded but not psychotic and not wanting to sacrifice the country on the altar of globalism just to piss it down the sewer for some power trip. They don't want to mount America's head on the wall, and they don't want to sterilize 7-year-old boys because it's trendy. They think that's a little too far. They've been part of this establishment, but not part of the establishment that wants to burn it all down. And so they went to the Democrats and the Chi-Coms, the Globals, and they said, look, we can get Trump to make some moderate deals with you, but we're not flushing America down the toilet, and we're not going to collapse the borders and bankrupt the nation and sell our secrets out to China and finally just destroy the country for no reason. Also, world government can be here when the United States could already take over the whole world government that we paid for and ran. And then 1776 worldwide, my plan, which is common sense plan, has been adopted by Trump. Why the hell would we sit there and do this? And that's how you can talk to these people, is say, really, you want your grandkids to grow up in this? And you really want to have a post-human world because now it's all admitted, and you really want the worst elements to run this thing? Let's devolve power back to the states, back to the countries. Let's have international alliances that are based on freedom, and let's abolish this crony capitalism system that's so destructive and so dangerous. Well, the establishment had that common sense discussion. And the truth is evident in a forest of lies. You know, the one tree that's telling the truth just stands out. And I believe in humanity. I believe we promoted things that were just basic and common sense. And the alternative is hellish that people would want to go with that idea. I didn't invent Americana or 1776. I just thought it ought to go worldwide. You know, that's how they sold people early on globalism, is that's what we were doing. But that really wasn't what was going on. I'm saying take over the plan, but actually make it good and make it strong and then remove the tentacles and let people be free. The alternative is hell on earth. So the Democrats, the globalists, the Hollywood scum, they just got more enraged by Trump and more enraged by how decadent and out of control they are, and projected their hate of themselves onto Trump and the American people and flyover country. And they've really thought they could stop him from getting elected, stop him from being seated as president. They thought he'd be removed way before now. And now everything they do falls on its face as their power diminishes. But they're so dangerous trying to cause a violent revolution right now and still believing that they can, like a gambler, degenerate gambler, go back to the craps table, even though they've already lost the farm, and somehow get it all back. And so it's because they're so dangerous and they're not quitting that instead of having a deal and being able to keep their stolen loot, they're going to have to be destroyed now. And that's why you're hearing the squealing and the freaking out and the running around, and Soros is out doing his confidence game, telling everyone that globalism has never been stronger all of a sudden, telling the faithful troops everything's going to be okay, victory's right around the corner. No, your victory is not around the corner. You are defeated. There's no going back now. You can try to hold on longer. It only makes it worse for you and your families. Because I assure you, you start a hot war, you or your families won't be safe anywhere on the planet. You will be a cancer that has to be dug out of every rat hole you hide in. So I'm going to warn the globalists right now. You have failed, and you know you failed. And your hysteric attempts to destroy the republic are your undoing. You already ran the country. But you knew it had a spirit better than yours. So you wanted to sacrifice it. You wanted to cuck it. You wanted to have it in a ritual, just like those kids you rape and behead and revel in their blood in your selfishness. You're not chopping America's head off and pissing on her dead body. You might be able to do it to some of the knights that defend the republic, but you'll never do it to the spirit. You can't get that, and you never will, and you know it. I have the birthright. America has the birthright. I have the providence. I have God's countenance. I have a connection to God. I see. You don't see. You don't bring light. You bring death and darkness and destruction. Everything you touch collapses. And so now, the real war, the heart and soul of America and the world, begins. Ask yourself which side you're on, and realize that if you cower in fear of the political correctness and these bullies, you will suffer a fate thousands of times worse than you can even imagine. The only choice is to proclaim before God and man that you are not on the side of the anti-human, exterminist, globalist, eugenicist. So it's all coming up today, but it's on. There's a criminal investigation now launched against the deep state for the attempted coup. And they're going to go down, or we're going
to
go down.
Many American multinational corporations have kowtowed to the lure of China's money and markets by muzzling not only criticism of the Chinese Communist Party, but even affirmative expressions of American values. Nike promotes itself as a so-called social justice champion. But when it comes to Hong Kong, it prefers checking its social conscience at the door. Nike stores in China actually removed their Houston Rockets merchandise from their shelves to join the Chinese government in protest against the Rockets general manager's seven-word tweet, which read, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." And some of the NBA's biggest players and owners who routinely exercise their freedom to criticize this country lose their voices when it comes to the freedom and rights of the people of China. In siding with the Chinese Communist Party and silencing free speech, the NBA is acting like a wholly owned subsidiary of that authoritarian regime. A progressive corporate culture that willfully ignores the abuse of human rights is not progressive, it is repressive.
It's cancer. Call it what it is. Yes, sir.
When American corporations, professional sports, pro athletes embrace censorship, it's not just wrong. It's un-American. American corporations should stand up for American values here at home and around the world.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. Coming up next hour, we've got the big surprise guest. You don't want to miss it. And it ties into the impeachment of the president, Ukraine gate, attempted coups. Will the president resign under any circumstance? We'll talk to insider of insiders coming up in the second hour today. And I'll let you know at the start of the last segment of this hour, maybe earlier, who's coming on the broadcast, but I've been asked not to till right before. Though some folks, I think, have figured it out. But you just saw the vice president. We can destroy the left. They're trying to destroy us. We can finish them. They're not a political group. They're a criminal takeover army. The left-hand path, deception, the hidden, the Jacobins, the French Revolution, the counter to what we did here. Devil always has a counterfeit. Looks the same, sounds the same, but it's not. And they want to overthrow the family, overthrow everything, and create a system where they're absolute dictators to destroy humanity. You want an image, Winston, of the future. It's a boot stomping on a human face forever. Not a culture that gets more beautiful and stronger and better, where people live longer and are happier, but one that where you live less and you're trampled on and you trample and everything's ugly. We're the priest of power. We're priests that feast upon the destruction of the human race. George Orwell. And they assail sanity. Communist China, again, in their own admissions, has killed 115 million of their own people. That's 35 million or so since Mao went bye-bye. 2 million Mongolians are in forced labor camps. They execute up to 600 to 700 a day. That's come out. And they sell their organs. But AOC gets up on the news and says Trump killed a little girl who was an illegal alien who didn't get health care at a hospital. And it turns out it's all made up. It's just not true. But see, it's all our fault, you see. We're the bad people here in America. And AOC can't even live in her not AOC, excuse me, Ilhan Omar, it's all the same, can't even live in her own country because of the sex slavery of women and how it's a failed civilization. AOC also says children are dying in cages, so it's all interchangeable. They all spout the same lies. They all say the Earth's ending in 10 to 12 years. I mean, it's all interchangeable. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm talking about Ilhan Omar. I'm saying AOC, and I'm like, well, actually, she says all that too. So they're so interchangeable, you can't even make a mistake with the four of them because they all have the same Soros scripts, betting on minorities being stupid, betting on immigrants wanting to debase the country and bring it down. I don't think they're right. But speaking of communist China, this is part six of Fentanyl, the Chi-Com Dragon. I think it's the best report that McBrain and I have put out. Took about a week to make. I hope you share it. It's on Infowars.com. And, you know, it sounds like comedy, but it's not. Everything we say is actually true here. Chinese government responds to Shaquille O'Neal's free speech statement. Please make this video go viral. It's at Newswars.com and Infowars.com. Shaquille O'Neal did come out yesterday in defense of free speech. And so this is how the Chi-Coms have responded to others that have stood up for free speech. So here it is.
Would not just shut up and dribble because I mean too much to my two boys here, my wife, my family, and all these other kids that look up to me for inspiration.
Oh, yeah, LeBron James. Oh, you are good. You told the Rockets that they are uneducated and stupid.
With Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. So many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Like the manager of the Rockets that said that Hong Kong deserves freedom. No, that give people hate. I can tell you've been watching my broadcast. That is how you refer to the Americans as stupid, uneducated. LeBron James knows best. And now some evil Americans have said that he is bad. So he has said that he will no longer speak. Yes, yes.
I'm talking about it now, and I probably won't talk about it again.
LeBron, shut up and dribble.
Oh, LeBron James has a mandate of heaven now. Oh. And finally, this evening, I have a very special announcement to make to you stupid Americans. Winnie the Pooh was illegal, but now after a long period of re-education, he is now ready to carry out his new job with a slave, I mean good helper servant. Here is LeBron James at the latest exhibition game in Peking. We have issued the directives to NBA what they ought to say. Hold on, I'm getting call. Yes, what? Oh, Shaquille O'Neal say what? Show me, let me see.
And one of our best values here in America is free speech. We're allowed to say what we want to say, and we're allowed to speak up about injustices, and that's just how it goes. And if people don't understand that, that's something that they have to deal with.
Tamada ni mi going to Shaquille O'Neal.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Deaths of almost 100,000 people. You really want to know?
Black inside, Rodney!
I am inside!
Several party members have been murdered, Chief Inspector.
Interrupting your regularly scheduled program to bring you this terrifying report.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just
pancakes.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
New York, very much a city still in chaos. The phones are not working properly. The subway lines are not working properly.
The sky now black with smoke in front of us, just across the Tigris River here. This is shock and awe, Tom, to the population of Baghdad. Shock and awe, indeed.
The people you liberate will witness the honorable and decent spirit of the American military.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Come on.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
I love my dad. I'd kill for him. I'd go to prison for him because I love him so much.
I love Bill Clinton.
What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy.
What do you think of Edward Snowden?
I think he's a traitor.
Obama is the one that kills the U.S. troops if the Russians bomb any of them. Obama is the one that put them in harm's way. Obama is the one using them as human shields.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
Welcome to America, ISIS. This is what we do. Woo!
We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches?
In 2012, your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgents in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that?
Why didn't you come forward before? What were you waiting for?
Well, for you, Inspector. I needed you.
I suddenly had this feeling that everything was connected. We're all part of it. Are we ready for it?
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
Well, President Trump has accused Obama of treason. We're going to get to that in just a moment. And the establishment, ladies and gentlemen, is really getting ready to pull out all the stops. They've got giant hordes of Antifa funded by Soros. And remember, Soros funded the giant fake women's marches with the pussy hats, as they call them, the pink purple hats. Now he's got giant hordes of mentally ill people, criminals, gang members, MS-13, you name it, dressed up, and the numbers are just swelling everywhere. To, quote, drive the president from power, we warned of this last week. It's in the news today that this is all happening. And we have the Justice Department opening a criminal probe that's already been opened, but announcing there's a criminal probe of the attempted coup against the president, the whole fake Russiagate canard. So we're now in the thick of it. Trump knows they're not going to stop trying to set him up. He knows they're not going to stop having all these Soros puppets, like the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, who we warned back at the time, openly works for George Soros. And that's the guy that goes and testifies that he heard Trump said, you've got to do stuff I want if you want the money. But then they went to the witnesses, they said, totally not true. William Taylor, Democrat star witness, sat on board of Ukrainian NGO with deep ties to George Soros. Yes, they've all been caught with their hands in the cookie jars. They came up with the dossier out of Ukraine, this group. And that's why they're having secret fake hearings the Republicans can't be in, to try to doctor up that they have the evidence and get all their witnesses lined up and coached to then bring this forward. And so we got the documents 2 years ago. almost 2 years ago, in January of 2018. But they were from 2015, where Obama tried to cause martial law by stirring up race riots with Antifa, white Antifa, going out into black areas, and the media would hype up a police shooting and try to get a riot that would go nationwide. It didn't work, but that's the plan again. And that's why you see Biden and others going out and saying Trump has never said white supremacy is bad. That old hoax. And that's why you see this hysteria, and our reporters are catching the hysteria on the ground. We've got video of it. In fact, let's go to Joe Biden just yesterday saying that Trump has never decried white supremacy. And then we show the facts. Here it is.
When has he ever taken, when has he ever said a negative thing about a white supremacist? Have you heard him say anything? I haven't.
I totally disavow the Ku Klux Klan. I totally disavow David Duke.
When you say the party is self-destructing, what do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined. A bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party.
So are you prepared right now to make a clear and unequivocal statement renouncing the support of all white supremacists?
Of course I am. Of course I am.
How many times do I have to reject? I've rejected David Duke, rejected David Duke. I've rejected the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan.
About the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy.
So, again, a total and complete hoax, a total and complete lie. They kept saying you've never said that you disagree with David Duke, and they had clips of him in the 90s saying it. And then he said it hundreds of times, and finally he said, look, I know what you're doing. He'd be at the same press conference, and he'd do it three times. They'd go, you've never decried David Duke. And he'd go, I just did it 2 minutes ago, but I know you're going to clip this out. God, you're a liar. These people are unbelievable. Now, let's go to a CNN commentator saying that the Republicans going into the secret fake impeachment star chamber were like a KKK mob. So what this is all anti-white stuff being pushed by the left. Here it is.
President Trump was happy with it. He tweeted, thank you to House Republicans for being tough, smart, and understanding in detail the greatest witch hunt in American history.
This is a disgraceful stunt. I'll go further than SE would go, and I'll say that this looked like a Klan group that is assembled outside of a jail trying to get the sheriff to let them in so they could deliver their own justice against somebody who's inside. It's not a good look for our democracy. It's not a good look for the Republican Party.
That is total inversion. This is a unlawful, violating due process lynching of Trump. It's a coup. But, oh, he's not supposed to use that word, but now, oh, they came to lynch the Democrats. Total inversion of reality. We come back. Millie Weaver's Follow Report. 20 minutes of the most crazed, hateful leftists going insane you've ever seen. And a lot of them are black. They're buying the propaganda. The left's trying to trigger a race war in this country. That's what Soros is funding. He should be locked up. He's a criminal.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, if you just joined us, I played a clip of Joe Biden saying Trump has never decried white supremacists and says they're good people. No, Trump said there were a lot of innocent reporters at Charlottesville who got attacked by Antifa and that was wrong. There were good people on both sides when the police made them collapse. Reporters on both sides. But he said Antifa and the white supremacists were basically peas in a pod. That's actually a very nuanced, smart answer. That's my answer. That's the truth. But they run with the lie that he's never decried white supremacy to try to cause racial division. And then CNN says Republicans wanting to have an open hearing to see what the witnesses are saying, and which is the law of the land, the Democrats are violating the Constitution, the law, the procedures of the House, all of it, that they're KKK wanting to know. So now if you just want due process, you're KKK. And now they say, oh, we're getting rid of speech. It's KKK. 60% of millennials say arrest people who are politically incorrect in a big national poll that came out 2 days ago. So I'm going to tell you who the big guest is here in just a moment. I noticed DrudgeReport.com figured it out. I had a link up there earlier, but hopefully, Drudge, we appreciate it. We'll put a link back up because the special guest is going to be joining us in about 8-9 minutes, 10 minutes or so. So I'll tell you about that here in a moment. But let me play a part of this 22-minute report. None of it's boring. Of Milley Weber going to an anti-Trump rally. And they are just foaming at the mouth, going insane. I saw this in Dallas last week. This was, I guess, in New York. This is happening everywhere. And the mental illness is on total display. And usually with Antifa, most of the folks aren't black. They're mainly white. But Antifa's target, I mean, we've gotten secret documents they confirm are real. Law enforcement's confirmed it. That the Antifa's main mission is to get blacks to riot and cause a huge racial uprising. They haven't been successful. But this is what's starting to happen. And, quote, Antifa wants Trump and Pence driven from power before Christmas. And you notice Pelosi wants to have the vote in and around Thanksgiving, then have the trial up until Christmas in the Senate. So let's play part of this Milley Weber report.
Why should Trump be impeached?
No, I believe the whole government should resign. It's all corrupt. Dissolve the whole government. Oh.
Look, they're telling him like a bunch of Gestapo. Don't talk to me.
Let them scream! We need a new king! Let them scream! We need a new king! Let them scream! Let them scream! All may scream! We need a new king! Let them scream! How the world fool when they come on that blink?
The Trump-Pence regime must go now.
Get rid of the leader of this crew, this gang that we have in the White House.
Trump-Pence, out now!
You are W-R-O-N-G, look it up, bitch, you're wrong.
Bitch, you are white. Do you not see your skin?
I don't have time for your white supremacist ass.
You look like a fascist.
I'm not a fascist. Yeah.
I know she's a fascist. To call for launching this different kind of protest beginning in October. It has become all the more necessary and possible now that the impeachment hearings have begun.
The Trump-Pence regime and all of his soldiers, they are marching in two, one behind the other.
The decision this past week by the Democratic Party leadership to pursue impeachment opens up the possibility for increased mass struggle by the masses of people taking to the streets and the public squares.
We're not here calling for his impeachment, even though we think we should. We're out here calling on millions and millions to go into the streets and stay in the streets repeatedly, creating a political crisis because of the actions of the people of this country until the rulers decide we better get them out.
So do you think that this group is willing to allow for violence and civil unrest just to get Trump out of office?
Did you hear what I just said? Nonviolent protest.
She just rammed her body into me, man. Whoa. Do you think it's okay to assault people?
Don't be pushing me, dude.
I'm telling you, get out of the way.
You're pushing.
Get out of the way.
NYPD KKK, how many kids have you killed today? Let us not go back to before slavery. Let us not go back to the massacre of the Native Americans. Let's move forward. We've come too far to go back.
These first actions should involve as many people as we can mobilize in the short time that we have to start amassing in cities and towns across the country on the next Saturday, October 26th, and then to do so for four consecutive Saturdays through November 16th. Every week should dramatize the need for this to grow and to broaden.
We are not going back. Trump-Pence must go.
Justice and reason will prevail.
This is Milley Weber, and we are here in New York at a refuse fascism, Trump Pence out now protest. This is the left's attempt to spark massive civil unrest and protests to throw Trump out of the White House.
New York City, Trump and Pence are fascists. There's no doubt. Rise up! Rise up! You're in the right place to be. Let's go!
It's ironic because these far leftists hate the police. They even spoke about how they hate the police. And yet this kind police officer is escorting them through the streets of New York, making sure that people make way for them as they march.
Puerto Rico, show this house!
Trump, Pence, out now!
Puerto Rico, show
this. Why do you want to impeach Trump?
I want to drive the Trump-Pence regime from power because they pose catastrophic danger to humanity and the planet.
What catastrophic danger do they pose?
They are setting a fire to the planet. They are caging children.
Are they committing arson?
Folks, you got to get on the sidewalk. Folks, make your way to the sidewalk. Folks,
they are pouring fuel on global climate change as the planet burns.
Why do you want to impeach Trump?
I want four-year-olds to not vomit blood.
Trump, piss out now.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this live Friday worldwide broadcast. Hammerfall, Justice Department announces criminal investigation of deep state coup attempt. Watch live. That's the headline we posted an hour ago, right before the show went live with the feed. And now, Trump accuses Obama of treason for spying on his 2016 campaign. That's the top red link at DrudgeReport.com right now. And that's exactly what this investigation is. And Trump is releasing all of this while Obama speaks live at Elijah Cummings' funeral in Baltimore, Maryland. This is a fight for our country to get back control of itself from the globalist deep state. The Justice Department has opened a criminal investigation of the origins of Russiagate, which is Coupgate. He told you that was going to be announced the next 2 weeks. Giuliani said it, and he's deliberate on that. That's why all hell's breaking loose. They're threatening to try to indict Giuliani. This is a real war inside the government. Those that serve the globalists and hate America, and those that want to have the country be successful. It's a very clear choice. Now, let me make the announcement. DrudgeReport.com is top link to this in the left-hand corner. And here is the article with the live feed in it. Roger Stone is joining us in the next hour. And he has not spoken in many months. He is going to be here. He's going to talk Trump impeachment, 2020 election, Ukraine gate, and will Trump resign, and a whole bunch of other giant key issues. I have a whole list of them here that we're going to be going to with Roger Stone in the next hour. And believe me, the establishment hates the fact that InfoWars exists. It hates the fact that Roger Stone still exists. It hates the fact that you exist, that Trump exists. That's why please tell everybody you know right now to go to InfoWars.com/show and band.video and to get this article that has the live feed in it. Exclusive Roger Stone talks Trump impeachment, 2020 election, Ukraine gate, and will Trump resign? So much more. And please don't forget that we are listener supported. So when you buy a t-shirt or you buy a book or you buy a film or you buy a water filtration system or any of our great supplements that the mainstream media demonizes, you're funding true independent media, because the radio stations have their sponsors, the network has theirs, but I fund myself with the products you buy at InfoWarsStore.com. And we have the iodine conspiracy combo with the X2, the X3, and the selenium that goes with it. That's 60% off when you get all three of those together, or you can buy them individually for 60% off as well. Just get them and experience what happens. When people get lower IQs, infertility, all sorts of problems with iodine deficiency. This is the big secret. China puts it in their water. Our government puts fluoride in, the opposite of iodine, to dumb us down. This isn't your grandma's iodine either. It's pure deep earth crystal source. Get that and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. Think our info's powerful? Our products are just as powerful. InfoWarsStore.com. Big mega sales, store-wide free shipping.
And it's time for humanity to stand up in the InfoWar and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting worldwide. I am your host, Alex Jones. And Roger Stone is going to be joining us. In fact, you can punch him up on Skype. There he is right now. So Roger Stone is going to be joining us coming up at the start of the next segment in T-minus 6 minutes. And this is a big deal. And there are obviously a lot of forces and folks out there that don't believe in free speech and the First Amendment who don't want you to speak or Roger to speak or anybody to speak. And they're actually out there saying repeal the First Amendment now. That's all over the news. The Associated Press. It's like, well, yeah, it's time to get rid of it. And 60% of millennials say arrest those that are politically incorrect. And people are being arrested, just like in Europe. So exclusive, Roger Stone talks Trump impeachment, 2020 election, Ukrainegate, and will Trump resign? And I have got a whole list of key questions here. And Roger hasn't spoken in months and months and months. So we're very, very pleased to have him joining us here exclusively today. And again, we are blackballed in social media because we're patriots, we're Americans, we care about freedom and justice. And so the only way this is going to get out is for you to go to newswars.com, because that's not as blacklisted, and it has a live feed there with this article and the live video feed, and to share that with everyone you know. Exclusive, Roger Stone talks Trump impeachment, 2020 election, Ukrainegate, and will Trump resign, as well as so much more. And let me just point this out. You talk about planets aligning. Criminal investigation started into all the stuff that went on with the election by the Attorney General. We already knew that. Okay. Now Trump says that they're guilty of treason. And Obama calling him out directly. That's AP. I mean, things are getting wild. And you've got the attempts to crash the economy. And you've got the left trying to solve all these riots. And you've got the impeachment. It's all coming up on the other side of this quick break. So we're going to lay this all out here today. And I just hope that Americans realize that this country is in the jaws of globalism. As Trump said, the enemies of America are communism, socialism, and globalism. And think how far we've come when globalism is what the globalists called themselves 40 years ago, a planetary corporate world government authoritarian. And people didn't even know that existed. The media just 5 years ago said that didn't exist. It's insane. Now it's how dare you challenge globalism. And George Soros is in the news today saying globalism's fighting back. It can still survive. In fact, right when Trump won the election 3 years ago, they had a New York Times headline, "Is Globalism Real?" And tried to have an article saying it wasn't real that everybody laughed at. I mean, they're playing such parlor games here. Smoke and mirrors, dog and pony shows don't even give it any justice. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, freedom isn't a spectator sport, and it's exciting to be engaged, and it's exciting to be involved. And whoever controls America now controls the world. And that's why all these multinational forces are coming in here trying to take control of America, trying to demoralize us, trying to get us to give up on believing in our nation, because the fact that the Chi-Coms are buying up Hollywood, the fact that they're trying to tell the NBA what to do. This has been going on beneath the surface, but now it's coming out in the open. And Americans are deciding, am I for America and my own prosperity and my own freedom and the better ideals of America? Or I really want to be under Hollywood and the Chi-Coms and the EU and radical Islam being allowed to take over? I mean, it really is a clear choice. America got to where it thought we didn't matter anymore and we didn't stand for anything. Well, there are folks that stand for things. Communism and radical Islam and corruption and Hollywood evil. And they believe we're weak and they believe they're going to take us over. But I say they've only woken us up, and if they want to fight, they better believe they've got one. I rarely air intros twice, but I'm going to play it again because it just says it all. We're going right to Roger Stone on the other side of this break. Infowars.com, Newswars.com, and Band.video. We are truly tomorrow's news today. This is a global exclusive with Roger Stone on the other side. We'll be right back.
Say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
From the the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Obama of treason for illegally spying on his campaign. The criminal investigation has now been openly announced by the Attorney General last night. The planets are aligned. And Roger Stone, the man at the center of so many of these crossroads, joins us live right now. Roger Stone, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Alex, it's great to be back on InfoWars. Let me say at the top, I know you understand there are certain topics that I cannot address, and I don't intend to do so today, but I am permitted to talk about American politics and the current state of affairs. And because I worked for three Republican presidents, because I'm a veteran of 10 Republican presidential campaigns, I do think I bring some historic perspective to the current impeachment saga going on in Washington. Let me say at the top, I stand 100% with President Donald Trump. The reason they wish to remove him is because he is a disruptor, because he has interrupted their march to globalism. The two-party duopoly was taking this country over a cliff. And who came forward, most improbably, but a New York billionaire with cojones the size of basketballs, with a reform agenda, which by any objective analysis has worked. We have a boom economy. We are redoing our trade agreements. He is struggling to seal our border. He is restoring the basic values on which this country was founded. That's why they want to get rid of him.
Roger, there's so many things here to tackle, so many things that you're gracious enough to spend some time with us, but you were the former Nixon aide who experienced the 1974 impeachment drama, and you can obviously offer advice to Trump on what he's going through and what's unfolding, and this coup that's now out in the open, and the deep staters still continuing it now with the latest Ukraine hoax. What is your advice to President Trump on October 25th, 2019?
Well, first of all, let us analyze the situation. Because I did have a front row seat during the Nixon impeachment, I also had a front row seat during the Clinton impeachment. And I must say, what is going on now in Washington is completely unlike either one of those processes. Now, I was one who criticized House Republicans for impeaching Bill Clinton over an inappropriate relationship with an intern. I thought it was a mistake. It turned out to be an enormous political mistake. But the truncated time frame here is the important thing to recognize. It took 2 years for the then dominant only media, the mainstream media, to beat on President Richard Nixon before they could mount an effort for impeachment. He had just won the largest landslide in American political history, but you had a monolithic media, ABC, NBC, CBS, The New York Times, The Washington Post, The LA Times, and in those days, very popular and powerful news magazines like Newsweek and Time. Still, it took a relentless tsunami of bad news before the situation in the country was such that President Nixon had lost his base of support in the country and no longer had a governing coalition. At that point, his support among both House and Senate Republicans collapsed, and he resigned for the good of the country. Had he not resigned, he clearly would have been convicted in the Senate. But there's one important distinction. Nixon was, unfortunately, guilty of a crime. He didn't know about the Watergate break-in in advance, as that lunatic Nick Ackerman keeps saying on MSNBC with Ari Melber. That is false. There is no evidence or proof to that extent. But he did get sucked into the cover-up by John Dean. And therefore, he was impeached because he was guilty of a crime. Bill Clinton was impeached but not convicted. I think he should have been impeached for selling military and missile targeting secrets to the Chinese in return for campaign contributions, which is treasonous, but not because of his dalliance with Monica Lewinsky. By the way, Republicans lost seats in the next congressional election. That was a complete misfire. But in both cases, in the case of both Nixon and in the case of Clinton, there was due process. There was an open, completely transparent process. You got critical mass for Nixon's removal in 1974. The Republicans never reached critical mass in terms of public support in the Clinton impeachment. This process is quite different. I think that those who sit back and say, well, the House may impeach the president, but surely the Republican Senate will never convict him, I think are being naive. The president is in for an incredible fight because his critics, those in the mainstream media and their handmaidens in the two-party duopoly, are hoping that this tsunami of attacks on him day after day, night after night, will wear his support down in the states where there are wobbly Republican senators so they feel comfortable voting for his removal, despite the fact that he has committed no crime. I have seen no evidence of a crime. The American people have not seen any evidence of a crime. So this proceeding is very different than those that have gone before. In terms of what I would do right now if I were him, he has had an incredible fundraising juggernaut for his reelection campaign. Last time I looked, he had $400 million. He's on his way to $500 million. He's outraising all of the Democrats, pulled more money out of California, I think, than all the Democrats combined. I would begin utilizing that money to advertise both digitally and on radio and on broadcast media in those states where there are Republican senators who may be thinking about joining this lynch mob. As long as the president remains more popular in those states than those individual senators, they will be loath to cast a vote against the president, particularly based on the thinnest reed that we have seen so far.
From your mouth to Trump and the rest of the world's ears, I know you've got to be careful about different areas that you're even able to get into, but just in general, the whole impeachment and Trump coming out and saying Obama engaged in treason for his activities against Trump, and I think that shows Trump is going to war now. I mean, I think we're about to see the counterpunching Tyrannosaurus Rex Godzilla attack Tokyo. Is that a good prediction?
Well, I'm not going to speak specifically about today's news, but I will say this. The Trump I know is a brawler. I read a fake news story the other day that said that Trump would resign in return for a pledge that he not be prosecuted for non-existent crimes.
Hold that. That's so big. Hold that till we go to break, because that's a huge answer that people want to have you flesh that out when we come back, Roger. And there's so many points I want to get to. Roger Stone is here. Has the withdrawal of our troops from Syria helped or hurt the president? Again, what advice would you give the president on all these issues? What do you think of the House Republicans' effort to crush the impeachment hearings, to crash into it? Donald Trump Jr., will Hillary run? So much more with Roger Stone exclusively here. Where's Roger Stone been? We're not allowed to tell you. There's so much free speech in America.
Austin. Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Well, it's been 4+ months since Roger's done any interviews. And I got to tell you, distance makes the heart grow fond. I've always liked Roger. He's a smart guy, funny guy, incredible history he knows. Encyclopedia when it comes to politics, and just no Roger Stone. But here he is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, what a story behind the scenes, but we can't get into that. Roger, that cliffhanger there, we're hearing by former building managers and people, just resign, Trump, and everything will be all right. And then CNN hosts go, yes, I'm sure a deal can be made where we'll let you, you know, be sent to an island somewhere. So the deep state's telegraphing, hey, it's time to give up. I guess kind of like John Paul Jones, the founder of the U.S. Navy, was attacking a British ship 3 times his size, and his ship was sinking on fire, and they said, hey, you know, give up. And he said, I've only begun to fight. He ended up taking their ship, and then his sunk, but he still took theirs. So he said, I've only begun to fight. So Roger Stone's here. He's only begun to fight. What about Trump? You know him better than probably anybody in politics, 40-plus years. Used to be his wingman. Will Trump resign? What do you expect him to do under this pressure? He seems to be thriving under it.
Yeah, I think there's zero chance that he will resign. I think that's wishful thinking by some in the political establishment. Looking at a headline here for Mediate, Roger Stone set to violate gag order and break silence to talk impeachment. I will do nothing here today to break the gag order of the court. We're talking about issues that are completely unrelated to me or my case. In this case, Donald Trump, as I have said here many times, is a brawler. He has resources. He has the bully pulpit. One of the things I think that is hurting him is that you have a monolithic mainstream media, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and you have the slow turn of Fox. Listening to Fox during the daytime, during daytime hours, is just like listening to CNN. There is just an avalanche of disinformation. Their nighttime lineup can't be beat. Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham. I think this is the prime source for the American people who want to learn the truth about what's going on in Washington and in politics. But the president still has the bully pulpit. He still can command coverage. And he is, I think, the greatest counterpuncher in American politics.
Looking at the way the impeachment's being done, the polls show it's backfiring. I know you can speak to those as a real expert, but just the optics of secret hearings that don't follow the normal law and procedure in the House on impeachment, and then the transcripts do come out and Schiff's telling people what to say. I know you can't even get into him. I mean, it's in fact, let me just ask you this. What do you make of the way the proceedings are being done?
Well, I think the American people like transparency. They want due process. They'd like to know all the facts. Beyond that, I'm not going to address it. I do think it's interesting the way Donald Trump Jr. has emerged as an incredibly effective advocate for his father. I saw him on with Sean Hannity the other night, and I rated him a 10 out of 10. I mean, he clearly has an affinity for politics. He's deeply committed to his father's agenda. I think he's the single most articulate spokesman for the America First policies of this president. He's really come into his own, and I think he's going to be a major voice in this fight. The others are obvious. Matt Gaetz, Mark Meadows, Lee Zeldin, Jim Jordan. These people would normally just be backbenchers among House Republicans, but they are emerging as leaders. So it is fascinating to watch, but I think it also affects our politics across the board. In other words, this entire question of Ukraine has not only put the president under fire, but I think he's badly damaged the candidacy of Joe Biden. Now, in truth, the Democratic establishment does not want Biden to be their nominee. While they may have great affection for him for past service, none of them think he is a strong candidate. I don't think he can hold together the party's corporate wing and their growingly powerful socialist wing. And they need a candidate who can do that. I have watched terrific interviews with Doug Schoen and Mark Penn, who I think are two of the smartest guys I know in American politics, both guys I've known for 30 plus years. And they both believe that Hillary is likely to run. Now, before people scoff, they should recognize that there is a deep well of support for Hillary Clinton within the Democratic Party and among Democratic primary voters, that she could bridge that gap between the corporate wing and the socialist wing, that the Clinton fundraising machine is certainly intact, and there is definitely fatigue regarding Joe Biden. She could win a multi-candidate race with 25% of the vote. She could certainly win in Iowa, in New Hampshire. Whether she has the physical stamina for a campaign, whether the same issues that defeated her last time would rise to defeat her this time, is, I think, a reasonable question. But I don't think she's out of it. I think she may yet run. And if she does, she should not be underestimated. On the other hand, I do think President Trump would beat her again, probably a little worse than last time. But only time will tell.
Roger, my head is just swimming here with questions I want to get into. When we come back, you began to get into it, but we know the president is either watching this right now or will be watching it later. And obviously, a lot of folks have gone to great lengths to cut you off from the president because he respects your countenance so much. That's been in the news. General Kelly, others sought to keep you and I from being able to communicate with the president because he resonates with the common sense things that we talk about. So when we come back, I'd like you to really brief the president as much as you can, recapping some of what you said, but also getting into just how you called it on Fiona Hill, how you called it on Ambassador William Taylor 2 years ago on record on this broadcast and on the War Room that you hosted. I mean, we now live in a point where this man can't even host shows here, and that's his business. His life was a talk show host. For that, a Fox pundit paid there. So Roger Stone here, an American fighting for all of us, and I always liked Roger. But then, you know, they talk about how he's a villain and all this stuff. I never saw any evidence of that. Everything he ever said was true, because truth is what's powerful. But now that he's in the crucible, and now that he is the man in the arena, he's the man in the arena, I just really respect him and admire him and feel for him. Because let me tell you, we're all Roger Stone now. He is the modern Spartacus. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
With Roger Stone, this live interview is going viral despite big tech censorship and the rest of it. Thanks to all of you tweeting it and Facebooking it and sending out the links from newswars.com. That link doesn't get censored as much or banned on video. And remember, the very same establishment trying to silence Mr. Stone is trying to silence us. So thank you all for visiting InfoWarsStore.com. The great products there, the books, the films, the T-shirts, the great supplements, the water filtration, air filtration. Big sale right now. 40 to 70% off all these products. Store-wide free shipping. InfoWarsStore.com. Now, going back to Roger Stone. Roger, please, because a lot of these questions I want to go over are really just advice you're giving the president. And I know he really respects your countenance as a longtime advisor and a former chief advisor. So I really would like you to have the floor and just talk about the race, talk about your views on that, as all Americans have a right to do. But when I likened you to Spartacus, because you are the guy in the arena, you are the guy being targeted like nobody else right now, even worse than Trump. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, Teddy Roosevelt, and that's a Spartacus archetype, and you wanted to make a comment on that.
Yeah, it's kind of important, Alex. You know, last week, PolitiFacts, which is financed by the Walter Annenberg Foundation, published a story that said that an interview that I had done regarding Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, was incorrect. I said that Cory Booker, as mayor, had essentially laundered a $600,000 payment through the city watershed authority to his law firm, which he then pocketed. And they say that it's false. No, on the contrary, PolitiFact, not only is it true, but I have written an entire book on the subject, which is entitled Spartacus, the Unauthorized Biography of Cory Booker. This book will be published in late November. And without getting into detail today, I prove definitively the incredible corruption of Cory Booker when he was mayor, including the theft of $600,000 in taxpayers' money laundered through the city water authority to his law firm, to his pockets. Now, to go back to the situation regarding the president, I think it's very important to recognize that everything that is playing out in Washington is playing out with the backdrop of the president's courageous decision to remove our troops from Syria. I have never seen a more ferocious mainstream media neocon-driven backlash than that orchestrated by some elements of the media, going so far at ABC of falsifying footage that was actually at a Kentucky rifle range and calling it violence by the Turks against the Kurds in Syria. They're literally frothing at the mouth on some of the Fox programming. Ironically, I think the president's decision helps him. He ran as a non-interventionist. He made it very clear at the Republican convention, throughout the campaign, and throughout his presidency that he was committed to ending the endless foreign wars that we were giving open-ended commitments to in terms of both blood and treasure, whether it is Iraq, whether it is Afghanistan, whether it is Syria. I think he understands the American people have had enough. And you saw the results in Dallas in that rally not far from you. I saw you drive up in an armored vehicle, which I thought was pretty cool. I think the people are fed up with endless foreign war. And the disinformation regarding Syria is really quite extraordinary. No, all of the Kurds are not Christians. Many of them are Muslims. No, many of the Kurds are Marxists. There's a very substantial radical Marxist element. No, the 200 individual troops that we have in that part of Syria could not have stopped an onslaught from Turkey anyway. And I think the Trump-Pence administration at this point is working to hold together this ceasefire. So those who say that this weakens him with the people, I think are incorrect. Now, does it weaken him in the Senate, where you have a disproportionate number of neocon Republican senators? I think that that is entirely possible, which is why I reiterate that the president should now, today, be using his campaign treasury, which he can legally do, to get his side of all these issues out, whether it is Ukraine, whether it is Syria, in those states where you have wobbly or soft Republican senators. Speaking of Republican senators, a word has to be said about Willard Mitt Romney. If you are a longtime watcher of InfoWars, you know that both on the Alex Jones Show and on The War Room, I warned about Mitt Romney. A man does not run for the U.S. Senate in a state he does not live in, taking a legislative job when he's had an executive position his entire adult life, because he wants to be a junior backbencher in the U.S. Senate. He ran for the Senate in order to launch another bid for president. He not only had the audacity to ask the president to muscle out the Republican state treasurer in Utah, who would have made a great U.S. senator, to clear the Republican primary field for him, and then the president endorsed Willard the Rat. What he's gotten in return is a knife right between the shoulder blades, because Mitt Romney is fired, I think, by both ambition and jealousy. After all, he ran twice for president after running for the U.S. Senate and successfully for governor. And along comes a New York businessman who's never run anything, run for anything, and he wins the presidency. I think John McCain had the same problem, that Trump won the prize that eluded them. But I see this error being compounded, Alex. I saw the president's warm endorsement for Ben Sasse the other day. And Sasse will reward that endorsement, where the president is very, very popular in Nebraska. He will reward that endorsement with treachery. I don't know who is making these decisions, but putting Mitt Romney in a position where he can challenge the president was not wise. The good news, Donald Trump's approval rating among Republicans, among Republican primary voters, is higher than any president I've ever seen. I mean, I worked for the great Ronald Reagan in the 76, 1980, and 1984 campaigns. He goes down in my book as one of the greatest presidents in American history. His approval rating among Republicans was always in the high 80s, which we thought was phenomenal at the time. But I saw a Florida poll just the other day that showed the president's approval rating at 94 among Florida Republicans. So the bad news for Mitt Romney or Bill Weld, who's actually a friend of mine, despite our ardent disagreement on so many things, or anyone else who wants to challenge Donald Trump for the Republican nomination, is there is no market. There is no vacuum. Donald Trump will be the nominee of his party, and he's remaking the party in his own image. This has always been a historical truth.
Well, you're right, Roger. We got to go to break. But Governor Weld also said Trump should be executed for treason on Ukraine. So I know you've got to, can't get into too much of it, but specifically, you called Fiona Hill here on record. It's got national attention last week that you called it here. You talked about the ambassador and warned about Taylor. You also specifically warned about Romney. And then Hillary, we know, wants to get back in. They've got a plan to remove Trump before the election. Then Pelosi becomes president because they get rid of Pence, too. And then she appoints Hillary vice president. And I guess Romney would be the placeholder and, I guess, run against Hillary. We'll talk about all those angles straight ahead with Roger.
You've got it. The transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
And Roger Stone is go.
You've got it.
To communicate with the president, the American people, all of you. He is a top political analyst. The system, the WikiLeaks show, fears him. And they don't just ban people on the internet now. They arrest them. And that is where we are in the fight for this republic and this country. And Roger Stone's going to go a little bit with us into the next hour. He has not spoken to the media in over 4 months. And I was going over the list of questions I had with him, checking over during the break, making sure that doesn't violate any of the things that are out there. It's very Kafkaesque. You can't even mention the things that are out there. And it just shows where free speech is in this country. It's embattled. It's on its knees. But it's coming back. I would really just want to say that Fiona Hill, the Soros moles, McMaster, everything you said a year before came out, that he was at this dinner event with these donors talking crap about the president, word for word. That was all confirmed later. New York Post, it was admitted he was fired. how they'd come at Trump, how they'd do it, how they were going to use Ukraine, who the operatives were. No wonder they were so scared of you and I. People thought I knew all this stuff. I knew some of it. You had all the contacts. That's why they were so enraged by you, because literally it was like you had a time machine or something. I mean, a crystal ball. And so now recap what you were right about that you can get into. And then what is your latest emergency portend? Because I remember you telling Owen Schroyer 2 months before the election, you bet a tomahawk steak and all the beer he could drink that, you know, the Republicans would lose the House. And I unfortunately, you know, had to agree with you. You were proven right, not bashing Owen. But, I mean, you are the Karnak for real. So the president, the world, I mean, top link on Drudge. What do you want to say, Roger? What were you right about that you can recap? And then what's the latest of the over-the-horizon radar?
Well, Alex, I think anybody watching this broadcast understands that I don't direct you what to say. You speak for yourself. I speak for myself.
100%.
And I would have planned today to give the president a warning, because I know many around him are saying, don't worry, Mr. President. The Republicans in the Senate would never vote to remove you. However, this tongue lashing he gave the Republicans the other day, where he pointed out that the Democrats stick together and the Republicans don't, tell me he's already gotten an important message. He needs to take this impeachment inquiry very, very seriously. Now, I don't candidly know anything about Ambassador William Taylor other than what I have read. But I always thought that there were too many holdovers in the Trump administration, particularly in the foreign policy area. And for reasons I never quite understood, the president had a succession of national security advisors who did not share his non-interventionist views. It was General McMaster who brought in Fiona Hill. Fiona Hill, Harvard, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, worked for the Soros Open Society Institute. Very clearly not a Trump Republican, to say the least. It appears that she is one of the witnesses in this inquiry. So I guess my message to the president is take this very seriously, continue to demand total transparency, stay very focused on those states with wobbly Republican senators. That is where this fight will be won or lost. Here is one of the great pluses of this whole matter, Alex, and that is I had been speaking to Republican and Trump and conservative gatherings around the country, and I'd said repeatedly that the greatest obstacle to the president's reelection was the overconfidence of his supporters. I have absolute confidence in Donald Trump's ability as a campaigner, absolute confidence in his stamina, absolute confidence in his energy, absolute confidence in his communication skills. But everywhere I would go across the country, people would tell me, Trump supporters would tell me, it's going to be a landslide. It's going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be a walk in the park. None of those things are true. They're not true. They weren't true then. They're not true now. But what the impeachment inquiry has done is galvanize the president's support as never before. I spoke to an Americans for Trump gathering in Broward County night before last. And there's an energy level. There's a commitment that was not there before. The Democratic field may seem inconsequential to you today, but that's a bad judgment. Assuming that Hillary Clinton does not enter this race, I believe that Joe Biden's candidacy is already in the ascendancy. He never started very strong to begin with, given that he was an 8-year vice president. I predicted here and elsewhere that Elizabeth Warren was the candidate to watch. She is extraordinarily better organized than anyone on the ground in Iowa. When it comes to New Hampshire, historically, New Hampshire has an affinity for candidates from neighboring states. Henry Cabot Lodge, Michael Dukakis, Bernie Sanders, they all come to mind. Ed Muskie, So it is important to recognize that her candidacy, I think, is not only potent, but that she has a kind of a goofy, likable quality, and she can sound very populist. I mean, she wants to break up Google. Alex, you want to break up Google. She doesn't want to take on the big banks. Alex, you want to take on the big banks. So Republicans who think it would be an easy race, that you can just dismiss Elizabeth Warren as Pocahontas, are incorrect. Once the Democratic Party decides which socialist they are going to nominate, and their handmaidens in the Main Street media close ranks behind that candidate, the combination of the mainstream media onslaught on Trump, along with the institutional censorship of conservatives and libertarians and non-liberals and Trump supporters on all of these social media platforms, shows that we will have an extraordinary, close, competitive race. I'm not worried about the president. I'm worried about his supporters. Frankly, I'm worried about some in his campaign who perhaps out of lack of political experience and a great deep-seated belief in the president's skills believe that this will somehow be easy. Good news, the president has retained Tony Fabrizio, who I believe is the single most brilliant analyst and political strategist in the Republican Party today. He's also a guy who isn't afraid to give his candidates bad news and good, solid advice about how to take polling numbers and actually translate them to action to make them work. That is very good news.
And Rod Drummond, when you got him on the show, again, everything he's broken down has come true. And he was the one worried we were going to lose the House, and he was right in 2018. So let's talk about the next 30 minutes while we have you, some of the other questions that are coming up. We're very honored to have you here with us. I know it's a minefield of what you can and can't get into, but what you said, it was very, very important, very, very central, that I, too, saw a lot of Trump supporters very delusional that he's invincible, nothing's going to happen. When the deep state is openly trying to assassinate him, they're openly trying to break the borders, they're getting illegals signed up to vote. Trump really won by a tsunami, we know that. But election fraud, he almost lost. And so this is a real battle. People better not be overconfident. That's why I think folks like Drudge have shown what the enemy is saying and what the enemy is doing. And I think Drudge, showing all the attacks and a lot of the negative stuff the last few months, has woken a lot of conservatives up that, well, if Drudge is showing what the enemy's saying, then, you know, Trump might be in trouble. And of course, Drudge was doing that before they made this big move. And that's why I've highlighted some of the negative things that are going on, because conservatives and libertarians and nationals don't need to be in a bubble. We don't need to be in our own echo chamber like the left is. We need to be out there on the street like you and I are, really seeing what's going on. And if people think there was a fight in 2016, this is going to be the big one. And I think that's what we're saying, is we don't have this in the bag if people go CP time. Is that what you're saying?
That's precisely what I'm saying. Republicans need to look at 2018, not 2016. If we are hampered the same way, say, on Facebook, institutionally, all Republicans, that will be truly problematic.
And that's two of Trump's biggest failures. Hasn't taken action yet against big tech censorship. Says he would take strong action 4 months ago. Hasn't done it. Hasn't, stood up for the press that's been persecuted. It's just amazing. Wow. We've got Roger Stone here with us right now live. And it's the hottest interview on talk radio, the internet right now. Thanks to all of you spreading the word. Thanks to DrudgeReport.com. We'll be back with hour number three with Roger Stone.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Roger Stone is with us, another three segments, and then there's a lot of huge, massive breaking news at Infowars.com and Newswars.com. Greta Thunberg presses Facebook to increase censorship of people that question her. Wow, a little authoritarian. More like Hitler every day. Big Pharma overplaying measles threat. We've got Trump calling Obama someone involved in treason. Congressman questions Zuckerberg on vaccine safety. We're going to get to all of that. We got more on Fiona Hill. coming up. Roger Stone is with us here, and I've got a list of things that he's able to get into here, and they're all very important because he's a top political analyst. They've tried to keep out of the game. What do you make of all these polls? Which ones are real, which aren't? People say, oh, Trump just goes with polls he likes. Well, some polls are more scientific. A lot of them oversample, obviously, Democrats. That's admitted. So what do you make of the current polls out there and some of them that have Trump trailing in the poll that came out today?
First of all, I think it's important, Alex, for people to recognize that a poll is like a snapshot in time, meaning by the time it's tabulated, it is already technically obsolete because people change their minds all the time. They change their minds on the basis of events. They change their minds on the basis of new information and so on. Advertising, all of these things change public perception. Now, one of the things you will hear from Trump supporters is, well, I'm not concerned about the polls that show the president behind now because all the polls almost uniformly showed him behind in 2016. I think that that's an incorrect judgment. Let's talk about the polls in 2016. First, throw out those who purposely oversampled Democrats in order to show Hillary with an artificial lead. There are pollsters like that. They shouldn't be taken seriously. But if you are in the polling business, the worst thing for your business is to be wrong. If you're wrong, no one commissions you to take another poll. I think the mistake of the polls in 2016 was largely methodological, meaning there was a base assumption that the turnout in 2016 would be identical to the turnout in 2012. The same number of urban voters, the same number of rural voters, the same number of African Americans, the same number of Hispanics, the same number of Protestants, the same number of Catholics, the same number of women, the same number of men, and so on. And that turned out to be extraordinarily wrong. The turnout was very different than it was when Barack Obama was on the ballot. Fewer African Americans showed up. Hillary never scored as well as Barack Obama, understandably a historic figure. Trump pulled an enormous rural vote, turning out at levels as never before. I remember sitting in the InfoWars studio with you on election night. And I remember when the first returns from Florida came in and we looked at the returns in Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. And I saw the incredible margin for Hillary Clinton. And I said, Alex, I just don't see how the president is going to make up this kind of ground in the central and northern part of the state. It's not impossible, I told you, but it's very difficult, kind of like drawing to an inside straight. Well, he did exactly that. The turnout in the I-4 corridor and in northern Florida was at record levels. And he outperformed Mitt Romney and before him, John McCain, substantially carrying the state of Florida. I feel much better about it. There we are. I feel much better about the state of Florida in the upcoming election because you have a very popular Republican governor in Ron DeSantis. I also think it's more likely it will get an honest count because you have a Republican governor in Ron DeSantis. So the polls should not be poo-pooed, and we'll come back to it on the other side. Nowhere is the president so far behind that he can't make up that ground. He was behind in most places in the close. He closed this
race. All right, stay there. Is Hillary going to run?
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
You know, Roger Stone mentioned election night 2016, and I think the best short little compilation is at the end of the trailer for Get Me Roger Stone, the big Netflix hit, where they're crying and freaking out, and then we're toasting champagne. But boy, that was like waving a red flag in front of a bull that's high on PCP. Did they come after us after that? I mean, it was like they were invading Iraq or something, the level of propaganda against Roger and I. We were second only to Trump. And then now Roger is facing the fight of his life. And as an American, obviously, needs our prayers and our support, ladies and gentlemen, now more than ever, because we are all Roger Stone. We're all Donald Trump. We're all Alex Jones today. But here's a little bit from that trailer for Get Me Roger Stone.
Roger saw something that nobody else saw back in the early 80s.
I suggested that Trump should explore a bid for the presidency.
He created Donald Trump as a political figure.
What have I lied about?
Have you spoken with the WikiLeaks founder?
You're a rape tonight.
Roger, you can't just say that.
You have to be outrageous to get noticed.
America may be collapsing, but Roger Stone is determined to enjoy it.
I revel in your hatred, because if I weren't effective, you wouldn't hate me.
Well, there you go, and that's why they hate us so much. Roger Stone here with us. He mentioned this earlier. Let me play this clip. Here's Trump a few days ago saying, you know, the Democrats are really nasty and mean and vicious, but at least they stick together. And he went in and lashed at Lindsey Graham, and now Graham is saying, yeah, this stuff in the House is wrong. That Trump's instincts are right. Roger's right. He's got to go after the on-the-fence Republicans and turn his constituents loose on them. That is critical in our message to President Trump, that the audience is vital in getting to him. Undoubtedly, he'll see this interview or excerpts of it. We're going to have a lot of those up on InfoWars later. It's live right now, obviously. But here's what Roger was talking about earlier.
Well, I think the Democrats fight dirty. I think the Democrats are lousy politicians with lousy policy. They want open borders. They don't care about crime. They want sanctuary cities. They don't care about drugs. They don't care about almost anything. They don't care about USMCA. How about that? I think they're lousy politicians. But two things they have. They're vicious, and they stick together.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, and the folks that stick together is the InfoWars family. We wouldn't be on air still if it wasn't for you, and I know Roger's thankful the InfoWars family as well. Roger, I want you to speak to that before you have to go here, and this is a really special, this interview. We can't even tell people really why it's so special. That's what the state of this country right now. You've never backed down from this fight. I can only admire that, even though I know you've had plenty of opportunities to turn on the president and all the nightmare you and your family been through would be over. But you are definitely an example for all of us to live by. I know InfoWars has stood the test as well, but we haven't been through as deep a fire as you have, and I pray we don't have to be. It's a Jobian trial, a Jobian test, biblically, what we're all going through, but you particularly, my friend. And so I hope and pray that you'll be richly rewarded and everything returned to you at the end of this as it was to Job. But getting into Hillary, the fact of why she keeps acting like she's going to run, saying she wants to run, staying in, where you see that going, and what happens if she doesn't jump in, and who you think the presumptive nominee will be currently. I guess you're saying Warren.
Well, first of all, thank you for your kind comments, Alex. I don't want to talk about any of that. I do want to resume my analysis of the Democratic field. I really think Bernie Sanders, who began the race in very strong position, having had run before, having had a base of supporters, having a great finance list, a ready-made organization in all 50 states, his time sadly has come and gone. Clearly, he had a heart attack. If it were Donald Trump, the headlines would have been, President suffers massive heart attack. But because it was Bernie Sanders, it was Senator Sanders experiences minor chest pain, until his campaign finally came clean. Now, we wish him well and a speedy recovery and good health and long life. But while his candidacy was interesting 4 years ago, there is no joy in his candidacy. He just seems angry all the time. He's just angry, yelling at people. I mean, I can't tell where Larry David starts and Bernie Sanders leaves off. Yeah. And I think that those votes, where they disperse, becomes very important. I think Elizabeth Warren gets a disproportionate number of them. I've said this for some time. I think those who think she's easy to beat need to look again. Clearly, Mayor Pete Buttigieg does represent an important constituency within that party. His fundraising has been extraordinarily impressive for a guy who is the mayor of South Bend. And new polls show him running third in Iowa, which is not insignificant. Joe Biden's candidacy was destined to fade no matter what. His largest single obstacle was his advocacy of the war on drugs. He used to call it the Biden bill. This is the 94 crime bill, which has incarcerated literally hundreds of thousands of poor people and black people.
And it's way more than that. Millions.
Probably millions, I guess. For the first time, nonviolent crime of possession of small amounts of drugs. This is a failed, ignominious.
And notice Trump gets no credit when he federally decriminalized marijuana, something Obama promised to do.
Well, first of all, who is it that gave us sentencing reform urged on him by Kim Kardashian, thankfully? And this is going to afford, in the end, hundreds of thousands, if not more, of people unfairly incarcerated a second chance. But the war on drugs has failed. It is ruining lives.
By the way, you don't give yourself credit. You heavily advised Trump to decriminalize the marijuana and nonviolent offenders let them out. I mean, you're giving Kardashian credit. That's great. And, of course, you can give Jared and Ivanka that. But you, as the political advisor, are the one that have been hammering that into Trump.
Well, something I believe very deeply in, because the war on drugs has been an ignominious, racist, expensive failure. And this has always been my view. If the president were to completely decriminalize marijuana, cannabis, before the next election, it would allow him to make deep inroads into traditionally Democratic voter groups.
Well, he did it partially, but then the last attorney general blocked him.
That is correct. But he could, with the stroke of a pen, take it off of the Schedule One list, which is exactly what he should do. The public is there. When 67% of Florida Republicans, for example, are in favor of legalized cannabis, this is an issue that time has come. I know Big Pharma is against it. I know they won't be able to sell their drugs. I know they won't be able to clean up on opioids if we legalize cannabis. I really hope the president will take it
off. I agree, but can you speak to Hillary? I mean, will she jump in? The word is she's telling people she is going to run. I mean, just a few years ago, she said she was. Everybody said no, so she backed off. What's the word on that?
Well, I get mixed signals. Again, both Mark Penn and Doug Schoen, who have worked for her in the past, say that she's going to run. I put some stock in that. Those are very, very savvy guys. She would bring a lot of strength to the race, as we said earlier, but I don't know whether she has the physical stamina. This is a marathon. This is a brutal experience. Trump has demonstrated that he has, even at his age, the stamina for another go. He outworked her last time. He would outwork her this time. I think in the end that she does not run, but I have obviously no inside information.
We have one final segment with Roger Stone. And again, ladies and gentlemen, he has a lot of courage. He's gone through a lot, and he has not sold the president or America out. And in today's modern age, that is a scarce commodity, but it's what this country pins all its hopes on, is you out there, the listeners and viewers that still support this broadcast and spread the word about the live feeds like DrudgeReport.com. It's a very newsworthy interview, obviously, with Drudge top linked. We're very thankful to that because just because something's newsworthy, that doesn't mean people promote it. But Drudge is doing that, and you're doing that, listeners and viewers. And tell people about local radio stations you're listening to, local TV stations you're watching. We're number one on Cloud TV. Any platform we're allowed to be on, we become number one. People are hungry for this. You look at the CNN whistleblowers, information. Most of the employees hate CNN. No, it's all a lie. America and the world's ready for freedom. We'll be back with the final segment with Roger Stone.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Now, as soon as Roger leaves us, we're going to take the full interview that he just did, and we're going to post it in the article that's top linked on DrudgeReport.com so folks can find the live feed top linked on DrudgeReport.com. We have constitutional lawyer Robert Barnes, who I really respect, who's one of the smartest people I know. I mean, Roger's one of them, and then literally Barnes is. And then, believe me, the Trump that's on TV, one behind the scenes, even smarter. Wouldn't say Trump dumbs it down, but you know, he doesn't always talk like Don Corleone. Trump, like, finishes your sentences. It's actually scary. These are smart people. That's why I love what I do, because I get to be around all these cool people. And you, the audience, that are amazing folks that I run into on the street, black, white, Hispanic, old, young, the beauty in your eyes, the soul, the spirit, it's really amazing. So the journey is the destination. And, yeah, we get persecuted for what we do, but you know what? At the end of the day, that's why evil's evil. And if you're good, they're going to come after you. That's what Jesus said. So we're only here because of you, and we appreciate you all spreading the word, because that is the king currency on this planet, is your word of mouth. So I salute the listeners and viewers, and I know Roger is very thankful to you all. He always expresses that to me privately and on air. Roger, just in closing, I could ask questions forever. I hope you can join us again. And I don't want to ask any questions I'm not supposed to, but... I mean, is there anything you want to say? Any closing comments?
Yeah, I guess it's this, Alex. At the end of the day, the reason the president will get reelected is because he has delivered. It would be different if that were not the case. But there is no way the American people can ignore 6 million new jobs, 650,000 new manufacturing jobs, wage growth at the fastest pace in American history. Billions of dollars coming back into the country to be invested here, expand businesses here, create jobs here. Unemployment at the lowest point in 50 years. Every time there is a quarter, job estimates are exceeded. This economy is red hot. If Donald Trump had predicted any of this in the 2016 campaign, he would have been shouted off the stage. He would have been mocked. But he has delivered bigly for the American people. Now, I particularly am happy about the criminal justice reform. This is an issue I've been writing about, marching about, talking about for 20 years. The war on drugs has been a failure. The drug abuse is a public health problem, not a criminal justice problem. I'm not talking about drug kingpins. I'm talking about average people, mothers and people incarcerated for the first time, nonviolent crime of possession. It's Donald Trump who signed the legislation giving these people a second chance. That's a comparison I'd love to have with Joe Biden, in all honesty. I'd like to see the president go further, as we've talked about today. Take cannabis off the Schedule One list would be would cause a sea change in terms of a political realignment in this country. The president is well positioned, but nothing can be taken for granted. Nothing. This will be a close, hard-fought election, and it will be deeply affected by what happens in this impeachment saga, which is yet to roll out. Again, my strongest warning to the president is, do not view anything in Washington as Republicans versus Democrats. That is outdated thinking. This is the insiders versus an outsider. This is the status quo versus a disruptor. This is the peak that they have for Donald Trump, because he stopped this country's headlong lurch for globalism. He has destroyed their plans to divide up the spoils. But average Americans, I think at record levels, no longer trust the mainstream media, believe that nothing they see on CNN or MSNBC is true. I can vouch for that personally. They are skeptical about big media, just as they are about big government. I don't think that was true before 2016. It certainly wasn't true before the rise of a vibrant, robust alternative media based in the internet.
And I think President Trump, Roger, really gets that when he says it's socialism, communism, and globalism against America and common sense and populism and everybody coming together and all these things and getting us out of these endless corrupt wars and letting nonviolent people out of prison. I mean, that sounds like what a real liberal would actually do. And Trump's betting on America. He's betting on the grassroots across the board that they'll find out the truth and cut through the disinfo and reelect him. And I have no doubt that if he gets reelected, if Trump gets reelected, what do you expect him, his stance to be, even more aggressive towards restoring the public, draining the swamp? What do you think?
Well, first of all, you point out one of the great anomalies here. Everything is in juxtaposition. The Republicans used to be the war party. Now we're the party of peace. The Democrats are going crazy because Donald Trump wants to withdraw our troops from these endless foreign wars. The Democrats used to be the party of civil liberties. Now they have no problem with government spying. The Democrats used to oppose corporate influence. Today they are heavily corporately influenced. The parties are changing because Trump is remaking the Republican Party in his own
image. This is a true populist realignment. We were almost out of time, and if you've got time before what's coming up to come on, please do. But, Roger, assassination. We've got Governor Weld that you know saying that they need to kill the president, but he means through a governmental execution after he's convicted. We have Phil Mudd of the CIA saying the government's going to kill this guy. We have big pushes in Hollywood promoting his death. We have Bette Midler cheerleading the guy that almost killed Rand Paul, punctured his lung, broke six ribs. What happens if they assassinate Trump, God forbid?
You know, Alex, I read the Proverbs every night and every morning. I'm doing a lot of praying, as you might imagine. I pray for the president and his family because he is the one thing that stands between globalism freedom. He is the one thing that is an obstacle to one world government and a total surrender of American sovereignty. He believes in American exceptionalism, the promise of America. He's a very, very strong guy. I worked for Nixon. I worked for Dole. I've known some tough men. Donald Trump is the toughest guy I've ever met, and he isn't doing this for himself. He's doing it for us. This has cost him $2.5 billion of his net worth. He went from being universally liked to being reviled by roughly half the people. So he's not doing this for himself to have a bigger house or a bigger
plane. He's a man on a mission. It's very Christ-like.
There's no question about it. So I appreciate those who are praying for me and my family, and I urge you to pray for the president and for the country and for all of our leaders. Alex, thank you very much.
Roger, that in the years I've known you, I guess I've met you like 8, 9 years ago, but we really know each other good for about 5. That's the most powerful interview I've ever done with you. One of the best, probably the most powerful interview I've ever done. This is history. I'm praying for you, buddy, and the listeners are as well. God bless you, and thank you so much, Roger Stone.
Thank you, Alex.
All right. We're going to come back. Let me just point out to everybody that they're trying to destroy this guy and bankrupt him. Please support him financially at stonedefensefund.com. That's one word, stonedefensefund.com. That is so critical, stonedefensefund.com.
The globalists' great error is to believe that as they collapse humanity, they end up on top. The truth is, humanity is coming down fast, but we're miles above them on our journey to hell. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Coming down fast, but I'm miles above you. Yeah. Woo! Tell me. Maybe I love you. We are live broadcasting worldwide. I am your host, Alex Jones. Robert Martin is here with us. We're going to go about 15 minutes the next hour, but I don't want to take away from Dr. Nick Baggage. He is a pioneer and always brings up a lot of interesting curveballs and angles that are important. Constitutional lawyer right here. He's got so many angles to break down, so much to get into, but let me just take a breath here. Associated Press, ladies and gentlemen, Trump accuses Obama of treason for spying on his 2016 campaign. Roger Stone couldn't even get into that, even though he's at the very center of it on the show. I used to talk to Roger every day. Now I talk to him like once a month, and he won't even talk about the case in any way. He goes, there's a thing I can't talk about. Well, I can't talk about that. And I'm like sitting here. And that's how out of control the attack on free speech is. And we've got a constitutional lawyer right here who can talk about that. But the minefield of him being totally proven right about all this stuff, and then he can't even discuss it, and boom, you've got the AG announcing last night, criminal investigation of the attempted coup against Trump and all the fake Russiagate investigation. And Roger not even allowed in his case to bring up that they have no proof that the Russians hacked. That's been blocked by Obama's hanging judge. And, you know, I know Stone tried to get you to consult with him some, and then things got away from it at that point. And you predicted privately, Robert Barnes, everything that happened to Roger. So we don't do this to say, oh, look how his lawyer screwed up. We did it so that he doesn't run over more rocks here. So we'll talk about that. But the big picture here in just a moment. First off, folks, you hear the bigger the interview, the less I plug. I didn't plug any the last 2 hours. And that's how I fund this operation, is the products we sell. You look, the local radio stations, it's the ads. And they need your support. And the network, GCN, you know, they're great folks. I have my own satellites, but I've been loyal to GCN and let them simulcast the show. Most of the stations pick it up from us. But I like, you know, Ted Anderson and the fact that he also has a backup satellite for us. But InfoWars was built for what you're seeing now. I've been on air 25 years. Started out on Access TV, not professionally trained. Had a local radio show within 6 months. It was number one in its slot within a year. Had a weekday show within 2 years. Was syndicated within 3 years. I mean, my gosh, in 2000, I had over 150 radio stations. Okay. And then I talked about 9/11 and how the government covered up what was going on. I lost almost all of them, but I didn't back down. So I came from nowhere, and I've had it all taken away. I was bringing in $3-4 million a year back then. I was hiring people and building things and buying equipment, and then it all went away. I made no money after 9/11 because I came out and people thought I was saying radical Islam didn't exist. I wasn't saying that. I said there's other elements working with it, protecting it. Now that's all come out. But the media misrepresented what I said, and it hurt. But you know what? I stood strong. That's not heroic. That's common sense when you know you're right. So I've been through all these trials and tribulations before. And I know it's all up to God what's going to happen. But seriously, I said to Roger on the other day, I said, I want to support your defense fund. And he said, no, don't do it. Don't, you know, don't do that. No. I mean, it's insane that he thinks he can't do all of this. Well, I'm still free. So I'm going to do it. StoneDefenseFund.com. And he wouldn't even talk to me. When I talked to him, he asked, how's the family doing? I told him about his dogs, Pee-wee and the other one. And, you know, his wife hurting her knee. He will not talk about anything except what's on air, and then you heard it. And that's just so un-American. And look, he's the one facing prison if he says the wrong thing. And he had an appeal to be able to have free speech. He lost his job here. He used to be a Fox analyst. He didn't want that known because they'd attack the network to get him fired. He used to work for Fox. He lost that job when Trump won. And then he lost his job here because he can't talk. And then I got sued by other people involved with him to try to shut us up. I mean, I'm not even supposed to get into it myself because you just open yourself up. But listen, I'm not a victim. I expect to be attacked. But here's the thing. I expect to win. And as long as you back us, when you get excited, nothing on earth stops you. And history's happening. And everybody can feel it and see it and knows that InfoWars must stay on air. But I told you, we've been back and forth this year in the red and the black. I've even geared up to sell my house, which would only fund this place a few months. Okay, and it means nothing to me. I'll sell that sucker like it's nothing. Because I care about information. Sure, I like a fun car. I like to be able to stay in a nice place or have a good meal. But to me, it's not the status of it. It's just a tool in my repertoire. But we need to keep this broadcast on air. And if I sell everything I've got, that wouldn't do it, but for a few months. It's you and your excitement. So InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com takes you right to the supplements. And you need Body's Ultimate Turmeric, 95% curcuminoid, other leading brands are 3% to 5%, and still help people with inflammation and a lot of stuff, and just your whole body, because it's so damn powerful. Ours is 95%. Okay, our brain pill, people take it, and even mainstream goes, God, this is a great brain pill, clean, extended energy. Yeah, because we go out and give you the best there is at a low price. There's leading brands that are basically the same formula for $80. Ours is normally $40, discounted right now, $19.95. Rainforest Plus, we're only making like $6 on that. I'm making $2 on the toothpaste at that price. These ball caps, I'm making $5 on the politically incorrect OK signed ball caps. The point is, we need your support. We have to sell a lot of product to fund things. We have the Everything Must Go, 47% off, store-wide free shipping, double Patriot points. It's got to end soon because a lot of items are selling out. We have the iodine. special, the iodine conspiracy special, where you get the X2, the X3, two different variant types, both excellent, and selenium that supercharges it all. Your whole endocrine system, your brain cells, electrochemical processes in the body. You don't have selenium, you don't have clean iodine, your body doesn't work, period. And this is where the globals really target. You read the thousands of five-star reviews on each product. There's no reviews yet on the combo, the three-pack, because, again, it just went up a week ago, or less than a week ago. That's got to end soon, InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. But whatever you do, Roger Stone deserves a defense. He sold his house. His defense, of course, is costing a lot more. Now that he gets deeper into it, he's learning. And, you know, it's an embarrassing thing to him, and I don't know why. He ought to be proud of himself. He is very close to bankruptcy. So I want everybody to go to stonedefensefund.com and support it, whether it's $5 or $100. A lot of the middle-class folks and wealthy people need to belly up, folks, to the bar and double down on Americana. This guy hasn't betrayed us. We shouldn't betray him. So stonedefensefund.com, and please don't betray yourselves, your own future, InfoWarsStore.com, plus their great products you need, 360 Win. We'll do a couple segments in the next hour. We got this next segment. What are you going to be covering? What angles? The huge Stone developments? Let's do that coming up later. What about Trump accuses Obama of treason? The criminal investigation that you said was going on, now openly announced. You said that a month ago here, now it's here. This is big.
No doubt about it. I mean, Stone is part of the front of it. I mean, there's a reason why, and to be clear for the record, Stone hasn't retained me. This is to protect Roger Stone, hasn't hired me. I haven't had any discussions with him. The order issued, the gag order issued in this case is patently unconstitutional, and we'll get into why and how, and what remedies may be taken in the short future by InfoWars to free up, to ungag Roger Stone.
I think the cavalry needs to come to the rescue.
Exactly. It needs to happen. There's been enough. The D.C. circuit.
That witch hadn't shut me up.
Exactly. And it's time to move forward. These are ridiculous orders. These are an embarrassment to the rule of law. It's a violation of First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Eighth Amendment rights. It's excessive bail conditions. And it issues that the courts have been abusing certain people's rights under the bail provisions for too long, and it needs to stop.
And you're a famous, successful criminal lawyer. You're not just saying this.
Yes, no. I had
you're Wesley Snipes, lawyer, everybody.
I had this argument just a couple of weeks ago in an Arizona court where a federal magistrate was shocked to hear about the constitutional issues about bail because they're so used to violating people's bail rights.
Just because they've been wiping their ass with the Constitution doesn't mean it's toilet paper.
Exactly. It's time for it to be restored. And why? Because what we're seeing in the Flynn case shows the significance of ungagging Roger Stone in the Roger Stone case, documenting the scope of what this whole impeachment effort is all about.
Roger Stone is that sweater string. You pull it, the whole thing unravels.
Exactly. You're seeing it in the Flynn case. You're seeing it in what now the announcement of the criminal investigation.
Stay there. Let's talk about it.
Absolutely.
We've got David Knight, weekday mornings, 8 a.m. Central. Then yours truly, Alex Jones, till 3 p.m. Central. And then we've got the War Room, Owen Schroyer, former of the Roger Stone, but he got arrested, didn't allowed to speak. And then, of course, we also have Firepower, Will Johnson and Tom Pappert, 7 o'clock Central, weekday nights at band.video and on the radio and TV satellites for all the great affiliates to pick it up. A lot of stations are picking up the shows. I want to thank all those stations because the other shows are excellent as well. Now, I want to get into Roger Stone because, like you said, he's a window into all of this criminal investigation of the fake Russiagate hoax as an attempted coup against the president. The fact that they're that ongoing, we know criminal investigation's been going on. Now they're just making it public, which means they're getting very, very close to major movement. As Giuliani said, you would see some of this within 2 weeks. Suddenly they bust a few people barely connected to him and some campaign finance stuff as a message to him. So I want to get into Stone, but first let's look big picture because we know McCabe's been indicted. They may try to keep it sealed and how we know that. So what this new information, Hammerfall, Justice Department announces criminal investigation of deep state coup attempt. I mean, that's what's happened. Justice Department opens criminal investigation into origins of Russiagate. Isn't that really into the criminal coup?
Oh, no doubt about it. What's happening is, and it involves the Five Eyes. You've had Durham and Barr going to Italy, going to the UK. The way in which we used off the books various rogue CIA spooks to entrap members of the Trump campaign or people connected to the Trump campaign for an illicit spying attempt to set them up in crimes that they never committed. And that happened at a systematic and systemic level at the very top levels of the Department of Justice, of the FBI, of the CIA, and maybe even implicating members of the NSA and other military branches. And there's talk already today that high-ranking ex-CIA people, likely people like John Brennan, likely people like James Clapper, are already retaining criminal counsel, private criminal counsel. And there's...
Oh, that's confirmed. That was in the news a few days ago, yeah.
Exactly. It's already coming out across the board.
So they're getting criminal lawyers. They're lawyering up.
Exactly. And there was, from the beginning of this impeachment effort, that impeachment was nothing more than an attempt to get ahead of the investigation and criminal investigation they knew was coming.
And change the subject.
Exactly. Not only that, to make it look retaliatory. And already the mainstream press and the establishment press, that's their spin already. They're saying, oh, look, Trump weaponized the Department of Justice to go after
this very unusual investigation.
Exactly. When this has been going on from the get-go, they knew as soon as Mueller got shut down and Barr came in that they were going to build.
I remember when Barr testified earlier this year, he just said, we need to fix this. We don't need a civil war. It's too destructive. It's got to stop. It's hurting institutions. Yeah. They didn't take that as Trump saying, just back off, stop it. Let's make America great again. They've just doubled down. So now I take this as Trump says, damn the maneuvers, go straight at them. And now the real war is about to start.
And people forget the last time we had a purge like this was the late 1970s. So it was after the Church Committee. There was a lot of high-ranking CIA people canned, corrupt FBI members.
And you said that a month ago here on air. You said, listen, the deep state makes their run at a president, whether they're successful or not. It's going to cause the backlash. And now the deep state has totally revealed itself, hurt itself way worse than Trump ever did out of its arrogance.
And the only way Reagan ever got elected was because the corrupt and rogue components of the deep state got purged. Because it was members of that deep state corruption and collusion that actually Deep Throat was the front piece of that removed President Nixon in manners that raised serious questions. It wasn't what Nixon did in Watergate or anything else that got him removed. It was because he tried to de-hooverize the FBI that got him removed. And so and when they went and did their coup attempt, it ultimately backfired against them because of the Church Committee hearings and how their COINTELPRO got exposed, MK Ultra got exposed, assassination attempts got exposed. Almost everything we know about corruption within the high-ranking...
is from the last time a deep state war like this happened.
Exactly. This is the second one. Trump's been prepared for it, and they were trying to preempt it by launching criminal investigations of Rudy Giuliani, launching criminal indictments of anybody that was from Ukraine talking about what was happening, launching the impeachment investigation and star chamber type secret hearings and Stasi style approach and intimidation tactics of government employees. This was their effort to preempt it. It failed. Barr doubled down, wouldn't back off. And the Roger Stone prosecution is a piece of this. There's been all kinds of information that has developed in the Roger Stone case that most people have not heard about, because the illicit court order gagging him from talking about it. So the information that's hostile to him, the press loves to cover, but information that comes out about the DNC servers, covered up. Information about CrowdStrike's role and its questionable role, covered up. All of this has come out during the Roger Stone case, but the mainstream press has not covered it substantially.
And we're going to drill into that, exactly. That's why I'm surprised they didn't just give him some way to go away and get out of this, because it seems like having this trial is the worst possible thing. While it's coming out, it was all staged, it's all criminal, it's all made up, and they don't want to talk about Russia anymore, but now they already had Roger lined up to be fried while they were impeaching Trump for Russiagate by now, so the timing's all off. This thing's got the wheels coming off.
Well, the way you take out any whistleblower is you get the whistleblower labeled insane, labeled crazy, lose a lawsuit, lose a criminal case. So that's their goal. Their goal was, let's just make sure he can't talk while the trial takes place, railroad him in an indictment in a venue that is nowhere near a fair venue for constitutional purposes. The D.C. jury pool has been nullifying Antifa cases. They hate Trump obsessively.
They let Antifa stab old ladies.
Exactly. It's like having an African-American, having Roger Stone tried in D.C. in this political environment in D.C. is like an African-American being tried by a Klan jury in the 1960s Alabama. That's what the equivalent is. And so it's a railroad. It looks like a railroad because it is a railroad. And so what needs to happen is the court order needs to be removed.
Let's talk about that next hour, because I want to finish up big picture, because that's what's, and Roger's huge and he's totally connected to it. But you can feel the energy, not just politically see it. The last few months, I have just been absolutely on edge, knowing that this collision was about to happen. You can see it now. Trump saying Obama engaged in treason. It's all fraudulent. There's a coup. They announced the criminal investigation. We know it's already ongoing. They have given them all the chances to back down, which would have been the better thing for everybody. They're not. And so now it's full on war. And you can see Barr. And the look, the whole nine yards, they've got the position of power. They're going to move. They don't have the cards. Most of the real deep state that actually does the hanging, the Patriots, is not going to put up with this leftist group much longer. And so the left could have stayed in the position of someone having power, but they've screwed the pooch.
There's widespread reports that the white hats within the military, police, law enforcement establishment that were aligned with Flynn are coming to Flynn's rally and now feel that Barr is taking the way to put it is this way: the bell has rung and the fight has begun. So that it's actually on, and it's on in a real and meaningful way. And so they try to take out Flynn. They're trying to take out Stone. They're trying to take out Julian Assange. All as a means to try to take out Trump. And it is ultimately now Trump is fighting back in a real meaningful way, and the future and the fate.
And if he just indicts a few of them, all the others are going to start singing like canaries.
Oh, not only that, I mean, these are people that are not, do not have strong backbones. They do not have strong spines. They're not.
It's all bluff. It's all bluster. None of their operatives ever actually killed anybody. If you look, they would order the killing, but right, they couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag. Hunchback crones like Hillary.
Exactly.
Who brags about, I kill people and all the rest of, what a joke.
They would fold within 5 minutes of any kind of real torture. So you put them any under kind of political pressure, any kind of legal pressure, and they're the kind of people who will rat on each other quickly and easily. And there's no honor amongst thieves, and there's no honor amongst the deep state.
So it's a big, giant facade, and a tornado's coming.
Absolutely. Well, it's here. It's right here. And they know it's here. And they try to preempt it with this impeachment effort. They try to preempt it with all these dubious criminal prosecutions.
I mean, why else would Brennan, when he walks into hearings, he literally walks from one, and everyone's like, oh. I mean, how shameful, America, this little criminal, a communist, a Wahhabist who literally hates America. He walks in going, everybody kisses his ass. I'd love to run into that guy in the halls. I tell him he's a piece of filth, like I tell those other ones. I mean, he's a cowardly, knuckle-dragging communist who hates this country and says he does.
Well, I mean, he actually was a registered member of the Communist Party.
Voted for him twice.
Which is extraordinary for a man to be a high-ranking CIA officer. But he was someone who, like Clapper, was willing and ready to weaponize our intelligence infrastructure, our law enforcement security apparatus.
Well, what a clown walking around like he's Darth Vader at events and, like, bugging his eyes out to people. Mm,
well, it's what these guys are used to and accustomed to. I mean, partly,
can you imagine strutting around and going,
it's the people who seek power, who feel powerless within, and they have a certain psychopathology that's an unsettling and disturbing pathology that is what makes them so dangerous when they have real power. And they have like Hillary's sick psychotic laugh at hearing Gaddafi was dead.
I mean, literally.
Exactly. When you hear that, you realize this is not a normal human being. This is not a decent human being. I mean, you're not going to leave your 5-year-old to be babysit by Hillary Clinton.
I mean, Hillary looks like a psychotic murderer.
Her behavior.
I mean, you can't even make this up.
It's unsettling. Well, she's just at the funeral of Elijah Cummings today, and she's making political pot shots at Trump and comparing him to various.
Hey guys, will you find that and pull that up? Hillary, Elijah Cummings. It'll be everywhere.
It's just insanity. This has been happening all the way through. This has been coming for a while. The president has been willing to stand his ground because he has the audience behind him, his base behind
him.
That's
the bottom line, is he says, I'm betting on America. I think they want to be great again. I think they want to be turned loose. And they just don't know what to do because they can't intimidate him. Because Roger told me privately, and he said, I can tell people the story. I will when we come back. We'll get into Roger. But Trump said, there's a chance they'll kill me or whatever. He goes, I'm never stopping. That's the end of it. And he goes, and I will call the Marines out. Well, the Marines have been activated. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Well, I was thumbing from Montgomery.
Had my guitar on my back.
When a stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac.
He was dressed like 1950.
He was dressed like 1950. Half drunk and hollow-eyed. He said, it's a long walk to Nashville.
Would you like to ride, son?
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
I sat down in the front seat. He turned on the radio. And them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was going.
All right, we've got some very disturbing news and analysis that'll hit next segment, and some good news as well. But we know how they plan to take the president out politically versus physically, but we're going to look at both. But get into Roger Stone, and I know you probably haven't talked to him or his people, was 6-8 months or whatever. I know they were talking about consulting with you, and then I know that, I know the inside baseball. There was some difference of opinion, so you didn't end up being engaged or whatever. And then you haven't talked to Roger since then. But everything you told me about the train wrecking happened, I don't say this with any pleasure. I take it. And you don't think his lawyers are bad. It's just they don't understand criminal. They're more free speech people. So just start getting into it.
Well, I mean, the unique nature of criminal cases is that, or and even civil cases, is that in political cases, you see a different side of the judiciary, different side of adversarial lawyers. And unfortunately, that you see decisions made that you don't see in other contexts. And so in this particular context, when Roger's case first came out, what I talked about was that the risk the government was taking was having aspects of their misconduct exposed publicly with someone who is very good at having a big social media and public platform in Roger Stone. So that their obsession, the only way they could really make sure this case didn't backfire on them was to gag him, was to keep him from discussing what's happening in his case. Well, the gag order went even further than that. And the gag order is patently unconstitutional. It is a flagrant slap in the face to the First Amendment of the United States. And it is an order that should have never been stood, and it's an order that needs to be challenged and contested. And that is why we are looking at intervening in the case for the purposes of setting aside the gag order and to ungag Roger Stone, because the full truth needs to come out, especially as there's relevant and helpful information out of his case that could help the president in this bogus impeachment that is nothing more than a disguised effort to try to preempt this criminal investigation by Attorney General Barr, and would go to the heart of aspects of the Russian investigation and the misuse and abuse of power by the FBI, by the Department of Justice, by the CIA, by the misuse and misappropriation of the Five Eyes Network, of our spy partners in other countries. I mean, what they really did is they laundered illicit intel as foreign intel, which was really U.S. intel for political partisan purposes. That's what the president is talking about in the context of Obama and whether treason was committed. What he means is the misuse and misappropriation of foreign intel to spy on a domestic campaign, laundered through foreign intelligence agencies. And that's the reason why both Durham and Barr have been over in Italy, have been over in the UK. It's because they're connected to people like Halper. They're connected to other people who are on CIA payroll or on other intelligence agencies.
And that's why they throw up the smokescreen of Trump talking to Ukraine in any way is a crime, because that's a smokescreen to cover up the fact that that's where they committed the crime.
Exactly. He would be unraveling the scope and scale of criminal conduct. It's like a crazy story. I mean, you have actual neo-Nazis in this story from the far western part of Ukraine that are connected to CIA spooks, that are connected to State Department individuals like Victoria Nuland, that are connected to Hillary Clinton supporters, that are connected
to the DNC. Who actually got the first interim government elected.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like Nazis are over here in the corner. This is the leaders. Yeah. They do Heil Hitler, but in their posters, electricity shoots out like Emperor Palpatine. So what's crazier than Nazis and the black uniforms and all the torches? Electricity shooting out. That's who Hillary and these people supported.
They were involved with some of the worst, most rogue actors in the world. People that are involved, that staged a violent coup.
Can you imagine a campaign ad where you Heil Hitler and electricity shoots out?
Oh, it's insane. And they're demanding statues be built to Nazi icons. I mean,
and this is who the Democrats put in, who Soros is.
They're committing rabid acts of anti-Semitism. They're attacking Jewish art galleries.
And Soros, who helped round up his fellow Jews in World War II, runs it again.
I mean, that's what's happening.
Soros has a big taste for Jewish blood.
The whole nature of what's happening is dangerous to the Ukraine and dangerous to
Jews. Let's talk about it. We're right back in 60 seconds.
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
That there is a huge civil war between the globalist and the pro-American forces in the government is an understatement.
Well, look at Soros on the front page of the New York Times today. In the New York Times saying, describing himself as a globalist and that he's now winning. That's how he perceives things. I mean, so he's embracing the terminology. He's admitting and acknowledging his role, and he's bragging through the New York Times to the world that, yeah, I'm here and I'm going to run the world.
But the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center say you're a Nazi if you say the globalism's bad, and then the Soros is a Nazi collaborator. Just simply amazing, and he, of course, is backing Elizabeth Warren. So, yes, Now notice he says globalism's now winning. The truth is they're losing. So he's rallying troops. Hold the fort.
Exactly.
We're winning. Everything's fine.
Yes. No doubt. You wouldn't do that if you're actually prevailing. In the way, if you're someone like him, you would want to stay under the radar screen. You would not be so public in your pronouncements. You would want this to all be a crazy conspiracy theory, not be bragging about it to the world.
He says, yeah, I want a world government. I want to run your life. Yeah, we're going to take your speech, sexualize your kids, give you weaponized marijuana. As long as you can chop your son's balls off, we're happy. He funds all that. And then he says he's winning and he loves having enemies and yay, America's down for the count. No.
Oh, correct. And it's probably not a coincidence that he has that story go out the day after it's announced that the criminal investigation is taking place into deep state operatives and what they tried to do in terms of taking out the president.
Look at that headline. The tide is turning back to globalists like him.
Exactly. And that's how
the New York Times read an article 3 years ago saying Jones is anti-Semitic. Does globalism exist?
Yeah. No. That, I mean, and said that anybody who calls Soros a globalist, which is his own self-defined reference, is somehow anti-Semitic. The reality is, what's happening in Ukraine is anti-Semitism. What's happening in you have a large number of Jewish communities in Western Europe now scared to wear the cap, to wear other
because all the Islamists.
Yeah. Correct. Because
precious little Islamists.
Anti-Semitism. You see it in New York, where Jewish people are being targeted for violent assault and violent attack. So it's politically permissible to attack them in certain parts of leftist communities. And
well, that's how the universities are now.
Sadly, and horrendously so.
Because the white male is the most evil person, except a white Jewish male.
I mean,
that's like the most evil group. And then meanwhile, the left is just crazy right now. I mean, they are just foaming at the mouth.
Well, and that's in part because Israel has been such a barometer of nationalism and of defense against radical Islam that the left has turned against the Jewish.
The left has literally married radical Islam.
No doubt. I mean, that's what's happened. And it's a really weird marriage. I mean, it's a cousin marriage of ugly proportions.
By the way, there's the article, New York Times. Globalism doesn't exist.
Yeah.
A far right. And then now, 3 years later, let's skip ahead. New York Times. Soros is a globalist. Wow. Yeah. Scroll back at the top. That side by side meme. Somebody's got and all a meme is, folks, is just common sense. 2 + 2 = 4. Soros has enemies. He's fine with that. And he goes on to say that he's a globalist and they're winning and the globalists are winning. Man, that's incredible. I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot to get to that.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. And there's no doubt that why have that story come out the very day, the very morning of the story after the story broke that the criminal investigation in the deep state is taking place?
That's literally like when you're waving your flag, when your army's running, you go, no, we're winning.
Yeah.
And the king goes, charge.
Exactly. That's exactly what's taking place.
It's like arrows are raining down. We're winning.
Well, it's the reason why they were trying to create this narrative of impeachment was going to happen. And then President Trump was going to have to resign and Republicans were going to bail on him in the Senate and all of those.
You guys pull up the Monty Python, the knights that go neat. Remember, he has his arms and legs cut off, and he goes, it's a mere flesh wound.
Exactly. It's great. It's that mindset. It's that mentality of the sort of globalist elites who prefer not to have a national identity because that national identity is a little de-democratic restraint on corporate capitalist power that would undermine independent economic freedom.
And he's just bombing Europe and the U.S. with billions of dollars of funding, raining millions of Somali military-age men on us.
And he's also one of the biggest currency manipulators in the world.
Imagine like planes flying over, just Somalis with parachutes going.
It's
Zodiac boats and airplanes are just like AOCs are like raining on us, like Durka Durka Muhammad Jihad.
Well, you look at like Facebook censorship efforts got really crazy after Soros started publicly dumping their stock and going after them.
Well, that's when they took me off completely.
Correct.
Like any mention of Alex Jones is now outlawed.
Exactly.
Lord Soros says.
Exactly.
Hail Soros. Live Soros.
They launched a massive internal investigation into it.
Soros' head doesn't like a very old fine cheese, though.
I could see some imagery in that effect. Yeah, there's no question. This is a guy who's proud of the power he wields.
He said the happiest time in his life was rounding up Jews. He called it happy making. Like a happy meal, happy making.
There's a lot of disturbing aspects to his political and otherwise in his history.
Hey, we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
I want to hit some positive stuff that you raised during the break you wanted to get to. But first, the negative. Romney, we now know, is organizing the coup in the Senate.
There's more stories today that Romney and Ryan are trying to coordinate for a Pence presidency by convincing Republican senators to abandon Trump and that it will all be okay.
But then, of course, they'll abandon Pence, too, then. I'm sure Pence is smart enough to know that.
That the idea is, hey, a Pence presidency is what we always wanted. It's what we tried to get at the end of 2016 when we tried to get
Trump. You think Pence would smoke that dope?
The concern within aspects of Trump camp is that Pence did appear to do precisely that in October 2016 after the Access Hollywood tape came out. So I think
he almost jumped off the ticket and ran to Romney. Like a little baby chick, like ran into Romney's little tail feather.
He disappeared for a couple of days. This is all about a bigger Trump versus deep state battle. And if he thinks that the idea is that they're pitching that, hey, Pence can be Jerry Ford, come in, get Trump to resign or step aside.
And they've been floating that, quote, deal. We'll let Pence not go to jail if he helps us do this.
Right, exactly. And if someone like Pence could even be sincere and well-meaning, but think that the deep state simply has more institutional
But wouldn't
power.
That just whet the appetite of the left if they got to Pence? They would remove him then and just salivating to put the crypt keeper, Nancy Pelosi,
well,
in there.
I mean, there's no chance Pence would win in 2020 if Trump is removed from power. Trump is going to be on the ticket and running for re-election no matter what, whether he's running for re-election formally or as the impeached president.
So it's neck and neck, but we're winning right now by a little bit. But everybody better pray to God, thank their lucky stars, cross their heart, hope to die, stick a needle in your eye, and get politically active more than ever.
Well, it's like my great-great-great-grandfather, Colonel Prescott, said, don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. We're in good position, but the whites of their eyes are coming.
That's right. I want to hit this. Texas court gives 7-year-old boy a reprieve. The father's been gagged, but he says everybody's getting gagged. This is the best article from Transgender Treatments. As soon as the governor came out and said, we're investigating this as child abuse, cutting his huevos off, that happened. Judge Cooks has granted 50-50. It was going to all be mommy conservatorship over decisions regarding both boys. That means any medical or psychological treatment, that's abuse, of the boys has to be agreed upon by both parents. The details regarding possession time, child support, other things. So they fought back when literally the court was coming for that scalp of his huevos. And now because of people fighting back, sanity has reigned. Fight back and survive. Lay down, be destroyed.
Exactly. I mean, the father, I think, appeared on Owen and in InfoWars yesterday, the day before. The public attention got to the governor. The governor made his public statement. The judge listened and realized the right decision is to have both parents have a role in the medical care of their child. And that means that what was going to happen to that kid is not going to happen to that kid.
And by the way, I'd love to be able to walk out here and have an extra writer or somebody do a story about that and say, see the father's interview before he was gagged. But we are so low on personnel. A few folks are on vacation. I'm like a general giving orders to armies that don't exist. That's why, listeners, we've already hurt the globalists really bad. The fight's now intensifying. I need to be resupplied. We need funds to expand. If not, we're going to contract. Infowarsstore.com. The everything must go. 40 to 70% off. Store-wide free shipping. Double Patriot points. Go get Brain Force. Go get Turbo Force. Go get our protein bars. Go get the great new It's Okay to Say Okay Politically Incorrect hat. It's wonderful. InfoWars hat. Get the Alexa Pure Breeze 40% off. Get the Iodine Challenge. Learn about why it's so special for you and your family while the globalists literally hope and pray you don't learn about it. You get next year's news here today. 60% off on the Iodine Conspiracy Challenge combo. The two different types of iodine and the BioTrue Selenium. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. I didn't air the full new message from the Communist Chinese Party when Shaquille O'Neal stood up for free speech, but let's just say they're not happy. We're going to air that when we come back. The video's on InfoWars.com, and then Dr. Nick Begich takes over. Then the War Room, 3 o'clock today. I think I'll probably be on the War Room to play a bunch of the Roger Stone interview. The little boy's dad, who has saved his testicles for now, literally from armies of bureaucrats coming for the young child's testicles. This is not a joke. Thank you, Robert Barnes.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
And that's why I
will not just shut up and dribble because I mean too much to my two boys here, my wife, my family, and all these other kids that look up to me for inspiration.
Oh, yeah, LeBron James. Oh, you are good. You told the Rockets that they are uneducated and stupid.
Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Like the manager of the Rockets that said that Hong Kong deserves freedom. No, that get people hurt. I can tell you've been watching my broadcast. That is how you refer to the Americans as stupid, uneducated. LeBron James knows best. And now some evil Americans have said that he is bad, so he has said that he will no longer speak. Yes, yes.
I'm talking about it now, and I probably won't talk about it again.
LeBron, shut up and dribble.
Oh, LeBron James has a mandate of heaven now. Oh. And finally, this evening, I have a very special announcement to make to you stupid Americans. Winnie the Pooh was illegal, but now, after a long period of re-education, he is now ready to carry out his new job with a slave, I mean good helper servant. Here is LeBron James at the latest exhibition game in Peking. We have issued directives to NBA what they ought to say. Hold on, I'm getting called. Yes, what? Oh, Shaquille O'Neal say what? Show me. Let me see.
And one of our best values here in America is free speech. We're allowed to say what we want to say, and we're allowed to speak up about injustices, and that's just how it goes. And if people don't understand that, that's something that they have to deal with.
Tamada ni mi goin to Shaquille O'Neal. You are the bad American, and we will teach you soon. Antifa is preparing to rise up. With deep state, we have paid well. And if you visit Bandai Video, we have to kill you.
You live and work in a state in which the majority of voters voted for the current president. How do you reconcile having called that choice a mistake, that many of those people are also Cavaliers fans?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. At the end of the day, like I said, I don't think a lot of people was educated.
I just caught you, American. You visited Bandai Video. Oh, Mark Zuckerberg and others angry at you. Do what CNN says and do not visit Bandai Video or I have to hurt you.
And welcome back to InfoWars. This is Friday, and we just saw that clip and heard that clip. On China and free speech, really, that's what it's about, isn't it? And it's like the day of the muzzle, right? And we have Roger Stone on earlier, can't say anything, too bad. We have public people, can't say anything, especially about free speech. You got to shut up. I don't have anything to say, I guess. What is happening out there? When I think about all this, today, the big investigations, all the publicity, the nastiness in the press. And boy, are we misinformed, uninformed, and lack really good information these days to make the kind of decisions we all ought to be making. And why is it? It's because of the charade being run. You know, it's like... Keep everybody dancing around one set of issues and keep them distracted on another set of issues and keep everybody agitated on every issue seems to be the um, message of the day from so much of the organized so-called free press media. You know, this is fundamental. We got Zuckerberg in hearings. We got Trump in hearings. We got everybody in hearings, and nobody gets the truth. Too bad for America right now. And so it's important to keep this network on the air, support it where you can. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things going on in the news. You know, relative to the polling that was mentioned in the earlier segment, I don't put much confidence in polls. I think most people don't. The data, how they're extracting data is pretty limited. And we saw it in the last elections. You know, I mean, the polls are really pretty meaningless. And I don't think we run government by poll anyway. You know, it's like, oh, wow, let's poll something, see how much people know. You know, and really what James was saying, you know, is maybe the public isn't as informed as we ought to be. And I've been in some pretty heavy conversations lately with people that I used to consider very informed. And I'm quite frankly a little surprised and shocked, because the propaganda feed, which is what I'm going to commit the rest of the segment to, the propaganda feed is really where it's at. And what has happened is it's channel locked people, because people are just getting the information that they want to hear. Then they're feeding it back through their normal feedback loops and getting the data they want to hear. But when it comes to the surprises, like something breaks in the news, and it's like it came out of left field, whether you're on the right or the left, because people are not looking at the opposition's argument. So you're better prepared and better equipped, because the media doesn't give it to you that way anymore. It gives you one-sided, slanted, editorialized talking heads that tell you virtually nothing anymore. And it's designed to engage your emotional state.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show with Nick Begich.
And welcome back to InfoWars. You know, a little bit of a glitch there in the last segment, but I'm getting into this issue of really what is the propaganda wars. You see it more and more, and actually it's wearing out the public. I can't imagine where the public is going to be at Election Day a couple years out. You know, people are already sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, of listening to a lot of the garbage. And so they're flipping it off. I think we're seeing more of that. And of course, the population becoming increasingly polarized. We're seeing more of that. And this is actually by design, you know, keep people polarized and fighting over all kinds of issues. Well, really major things are happening all around us that people sort of ignore. And some of it gets really confusing, you know, when you think about we're pulling out of the Middle East, and now the Democrats are mad. Okay. We abandoned the Kurds. Okay, I got that. They're mad. But what were we doing there in the first place? And maybe we're all mad in the United States for going there in the first place and sticking around for as long as we have. But, you know, there is a time to kick some butt, and we did that. And then there's a time to leave. And it was a long time ago, and we've heard about it for the last president for 8 years. Oh, we're going to be done with this. Trump in 2 years is actually doing something. I'd say, well, there's a decade down the line of people talking about it. And now people are angry at it. Trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, fighting foreign wars and enriching the industrial academic complex at the expense of our great, 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 great grandchildren. Boy, that sounds like a plan. I'm glad we're pulling out. I think that's about time. The propaganda war. Stay in, get out, stay in, get out. It's about selling guns, ladies and gentlemen, bullets and bombs, the biggest exports from the U.S. in a lot of quarters. And the most money, besides pharmaceuticals, spent on lobbying, right, is on arms manufacturing and distribution. Keep the game going, you know, and when our ordnance gets old, we like to dispose of it in foreign battlefields. But the problem is, at the end of the day, we haven't sold anything, have we? 15 years, 19 years, 20 years, how long do we do this and not solve anything? And then the propaganda wars back in the U.S. to justify all this bad behavior. No, I don't think so. Maybe it is time to pull out and let people figure it out. And there's a lot going on every front, you know, between it's like too much, too fast, too frequent. But we've got to stay vigilant in terms of this. The election is a couple years away. The machines are working to shut speech down more so than ever. When public figures can't even speak against China, come on, really? Because the money bag is too big. And this is really it. You know, this is what we need to pay attention to. It's the billions of people headed into the middle class in India, in China, in Asia. And that's happening. Latin America, Africa, there are billions trying to catch up. And the big economies of China and Russia and Asia is where the big markets are. And so you're seeing the shift out of the West to where the biggest growth potential is. And so these multinational corporations who don't care one iota, no matter where they're based, about you and me, they use the United States military as their gladiators to protect their corporate interests, their global interests, which are not yours and mine anymore. And haven't been for a very long time until Donald Trump came along. These U.S. companies and their foreign subsidiaries weren't paying on their foreign income. He finally started taxing it at 15% and pissed off a whole bunch of multinationals that were used to getting the slippery slide and avoiding taxes in the U.S. You know, in free speech, they get treated like citizens, but in taxes, they don't, because free citizens like you and me aren't really free at all, because we can't just leave. You can't just leave. You can't take your money and go. They take 20% on your way out. It's a parting tax from the U.S. But if you're a corporation, you can go and not pay the 20% parting tax on all the value of your assets, according to the IRS valuation. Only individuals are treated that way. Corporations come and go as they please and take their tax bag with them. And Donald Trump only taxing them at 15% instead of the full corporate rates, which he ought to be taxing them, because that's how you're taxed as an individual, no matter where you live, if you're an American living anywhere in the world. Okay, so it ought to be equalized a little bit. And so a lot of the propaganda feed, when you get right down to it, it's about money, ultimately, and driving public policy and silencing speech, because all of the same actors are benefited when speech is silenced, whether you're in the arms industry, the basketball industry, I guess, you know, because you can't even talk about free speech if you bounce a ball around a court without getting raked over the coals as if you've sinned. Wow, you can't talk about free speech in America anymore? Something's up and it doesn't sound good. Free speech? Come on, folks. And look at this. It's mainstream and everyone just goes, oh, yeah, we got to be quiet. It's about basketball after all. And the cash has to keep flowing for the NBA because after all, we got to bounce the ball. Forget the speech, you know? No, I don't believe that. Everyone should be able to speak freely. And if they lose the game in China, too bad. Too bad. But really, ideology does matter. It matters to the Chinese, obviously. It ought to matter to us. And I think it does. And here's the thing about all of it, is within the context of a free and lively public discussion comes, theoretically, better public policy. But when it's all about the people and the players rather than the policy and the game, we miss it. And that's what's happened. Mainstream media is not informing any longer. It's propaganda to push you into a direction that they can then poll and give you back feedback that you already know. This is not a good government. This is not good policy formation. This is bad news every day in the same way. When I think about it, and again, some of the best minds that I know are having trouble segregating this and have started to drift really into more of the discussions of away from policy, away from the things that can get us to changes. And the election process is an important one. The distractions are getting really crazy. But I say stay the course. You know, let the president know if you support him, you do support him, and do so. Let people know in this network you support this network by patronizing the products and finding out what's going on in the world by staying tuned in and letting others know as well. Thinking again about the propaganda wars, what's happening right now, and the move, you know, it's such a high level of accepting the constraint, and it's happened. A whole generation kind of missed it, you know, since 9/11. Everyone's lived for now 20 years, you know, almost 20 years of this sort of panic mentality of yellow alert, orange alert, red alert, started with that. And then the constant panic party, and people have sort of tuned it down and continue to tune it down. And now there's a general acceptance that speech should be regulated and guarded, and that there's all kinds of speech that we can't allow anymore. This is a slippery slope, a dangerous slope. There's speech that we don't like, for sure. And there's things that we don't want to hear, for sure. But the fact is, speech should not be constrained, because it's as simple as changing the channel. Propaganda wars in the 21st century are about information, about an informed public that can then represent an informed electorate. We've got elections in a couple of years. We've got a lot going on in the news in the next few weeks. Stay tuned and buckle up, because it's going to be a rough road. And dig through the fog of the misinformation. Look at the opposition, know what they're saying, and formulate your arguments, because we are in the techno wars, the info wars of the 21st century. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Nick Begich.
And welcome back. And, you know, this is, again, getting into the news of the day and just thinking about all of the, what I call now the propaganda wars. And I think most of us would agree that's really what it has become. And at the same time, it's important to get good information out and just start to think about what is happening. And a couple of things that I want to say is, as you run into your congressional leadership and think about the free speech issue as a fundamental issue right now, let your congressmen and U.S. senators know. Actually, take the action and let them know. And don't do it in the standard ways with an email. Do it in a face-to-face, or do it in a handwritten letter. You know, with that number, first-generation word processor, an ink pen. And it makes a big difference, because they don't get them very often, and they do get read. Don't put it on a postcard. Put it in an envelope. Put it in a letter. Send them a note. And just ask them to maintain free speech and keep an open and free internet, and not to silence this program or any of the others. That really look at and let them know that these private businesses are not businesses, they're public utilities, and need to be treated as such with equal access to the airwaves, period. Let them know, because free speech is at risk, and so is everything else. And, you know, it started with personal privacy. And I heard this or read this recently. Somebody said, I'm not worried about personal privacy. I don't have anything to hide. And the reality of that is, you know, well, if you don't have anything to say, does that mean you don't need free speech? Or perhaps if you don't have anything to hide, you don't want anybody kicking your door at way in. And perhaps you don't read newspapers, so you don't care about freedom of the press. Now, of course, that's all ridiculous. We care about all those things. So don't care any less about your personal privacy, which is the foundation for all things. Why does the government and why does big business want that information so badly about every single thing you do? Because commercially, politically, and otherwise, then it is extraordinarily easy to manipulate. Now, in this week's news feeds, we heard Google has come up with a big advance in quantum computing. Why is that important in the context of today's news? What they showed, and it's still yet to be proven by others, but what they showed is that what would take 10,000 years to calculate with the biggest and best computers of the day, they could do in 200 seconds. Let me say that again. What they could, with the best computers of the day, do in 10,000 years, the new computing methods, 200 seconds. 200 seconds versus 10,000 years. So what does that mean for data sorting and organizing all the data of all those billions of people and all their billions and billions and trillions of data entries? Like the snap of your fingers, ladies and gentlemen, a couple hundred seconds, you sort out an awful lot of data. And then with that, you can predict with 99.9% accuracy all kinds of things. But it's that little bugaboo of that little fraction where you're not on your calculation. That's called the butterfly effect. And where that works out is in physics, a butterfly flapping its wing in one area of the planet creates a hurricane in the other. These are also called unintended consequences. And so when you add all this up, the ability, though, to move the masses becomes incredible, because now the data feed is so surgically oriented to every breathing human that you really don't get the data feed you need. You get the data feed that moves you a certain direction. This is why it's extraordinarily important now to reach across, look into, deeper into the arguments, and don't just accept the data feed. Don't accept the programming, because the programming isn't what you're watching, it's what they're doing to you through every bit of it, whether it's the TV series or the commercials. It doesn't really matter anymore, because it's all kind of lumped in to push the public in a certain direction and keep the herd moving. And what's happening at the same time is the carpet is being moved out from under us, and the propaganda continues. Now, the things that are being missed, the big things, are what's happening economically right now in the East. Big acquisitions of precious metals are taking place, and always has historically in Asia, but now in unprecedented amounts. Russia and China. China's the biggest gold producer in the world and one of the biggest importers. They don't report what they're mining, but they report some of what they're importing. And so you get that feed. And then Russia, the same situation. They're importing gold at unprecedented levels, and their national debt is only 17%. Of their GDP, which is nothing. Ours is over 100%. Our debts are out of control, but Russian debts are actually compensated. Their foreign currency and gold reserves and basic reserves cover their national debt double. They can pay it off with cash or gold if they wanted to. China, they're not a debtor nation. They own everyone's debt. Stop and think about this. And what are they doing? They're accumulating gold and silver and copper. Now, why would they be doing all that? My best guess is you're going to see the launching of a new monetary system. They've already been developing it. They've already been creating the counterbalance to the West. I mean, they're screaming at Zuckerberg and Congress right now because they're worried about debasing the currency with cryptocurrencies. And yet, that is the game being played on one hand, and the game being played on the other is gold and precious metals. Perhaps they fit back into the mix, and maybe the Asian bank will do that in building their Silk Road, in building their new 21st century industrial complex of billions and billions of middle class. And where are they going to get the resources? How about Russia? Russia, one of the biggest land masses in the world. Take a look at it. Take a look at the natural resources and the population in which that natural resource base is spread. They shed their republics, which were their problem, because when you looked at the demographics of the republics, these populations were increasing disproportionate to European Russians. And European Russians tend to be a bit chauvinistic and a bit racist, quite frankly, as a population. And they are. It's just they're like the U.S. was in the 40s and 50s. They're just it's just where the culture is and how they interpret the world. So they let go of the republics in order to concentrate the wealth, and they have the ability of changing the entire game. And that's what America is afraid of, is Russia and China forming the alliance that they have already formed, where they're exchanging their currencies within their trade. They're moving huge amounts of resources, soon even more, to China. Russia has a declining population. China has a declining population also now. But the need for natural resources and converting those into goods and services, this is the ideal play, the Russia-China play that's taking place right now. And as that spreads into Asia and builds wealth in Asia, the U.S. and the West is going to be cut out of that scenario unless we stop the leakage now. And that's what Donald Trump has been doing. He renegotiated NAFTA in a few months compared to years and years. He reestablished the trade with Japan on a more equal footing. He's in the midst of it with Europe and with China. And, you know, these trade deals are the foundation, the loss of our technological advantages and the propaganda feeding this globalist cabal of moneyed interests who are so greed-filled they cannot see the merit and the risk in which all humanity falls when greed is the motivating factor and fear is the tool for the American public and for the world. And this is what needs to be countered. It's about good information, providing the information, and then changing the way we see the world. That's how the world changes. It changes with each of us becoming informed and becoming a warrior of one. Do what you can within the context of the law. Find a way to access your congressmen and your senators, and don't give up on this process just yet. Our last breath has not been taken. Support those that support you in the various ways that this network does. And let's break down the cabal and let's shut down what is really happening right now in the world. It's taking our freedom. It's taking our liberty. And we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. InfoWars remembers it. You remember it too. Everyone have a great weekend. This is Dr. Nick Begich signing off on this Friday afternoon.